Can I tell you what? First, let me introduce the fact that we're here. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy.
Don't they know by now?
I hope they know by now. So it is us, and we'll be on for 2 hours. Then Steve will do the Wintrust business lunch for an hour. Then we'll come back for 2 hours. All right, that's how it'll play out. And you can jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Friday, which is fantastic. It's warm, which is even better. Baseball is starting up, one of the best days of the year when pitchers and catchers report to spring training. So everything's on the upswing. And then as Steve pointed out in the news, Harper Lee, one of the greatest novelists of all time, has passed away.
Sad.
That is very
sad. How is that good news?
No, that's bad news. That's what I'm saying, is all that good news, and then you get that, and it's sad.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Wendy.
No, it's the roller coaster of life, the yin and yang, the good with the bad.
I know.
She was very ill for a number of years. And in fact, I just played a cut in the news of this, of writer Marya Mills, who used to write in the Tribune, and she wrote this memoir, The Mockingbird Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her a couple years ago about when Alice, Harper Lee's older sister, died. And so, because there was real controversy, you know, in the Go Tell a Watchman or Go Set a Watchman, that book came out last year,
mm-hmm.
of whether Harper Lee was in full control of her faculties, whether she would approve that, because after To Kill a Mockingbird, she had refused to publish any book afterward, you know, for decades. And
what was the reason, Steve? I can't remember.
Well, she never really gave a good reason.
She just didn't want to.
I think there was huge pressure after that book was so good, and she just never kind of went back to it.
I always look at that, like if you had to draw up, and I'm not aware of every novel that's ever been written, but if somebody said Steve, wouldn't you agree that that is one of the better novels that's been written in the last 100 years?
Well, it's a defining novel of the United States, I think. And
sure.
It's, even aside from the quality of the book, just the fact that it is so widely read in so many schools and by so many people. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if there's another...
Catcher in the Rye.
Maybe, yeah.
Great Gatsby.
Yeah,
Great Gatsby would be one
the
that
Outsiders.
Is so widely read.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Hinton's
I
the
forgot
Outsiders.
How great that book was.
Yeah. That's S.E. Hinton,
yep.
right? Is that who wrote The Outsiders? Yeah. Certainly there's no shortage of great novels, but you'd be hard if
Bridges
you were making
of Madison
a list.
County.
Bridges of Madison
it's
County.
Right up there.
Hop on Pop is a really good novel.
I love
if you've
my
not
favorite.
Read Hop on
you know,
Pop.
I never did get through it, though.
but
it is.
Isn't
it really
this
is.
Interesting? She creates this iconic character, Atticus Finch, who's considered to be just the most upright citizen of all time. And then when you read the sequel later on, or the prequel, I guess, it turns out Atticus Finch is flawed.
A little more human.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and Atticus Finch was... actually, the interview with Marya is up on WGNRadio.com, and you might find it interesting, but...
We will.
No,
we will.
It was done, obviously, it was done after Alice died, so it's more about Alice, but Atticus Finch was based on their father, on the sister's dad,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even a little bit on Alice, because Alice was a lawyer when Nell was young, but... Yeah, it's just the thing to me about it, Bill, is, you know, you're talking about how influential it is. I didn't realize it till you said that. But the first thing I did was text my daughter.
Really?
And said, Emma, Harper Lee died. And I think it's one of those books that everyone kind of shares. You know, the kids read it in school.
Yeah.
So it's things that we talked about. So it really is it is one of our threads in this culture.
When I was a kid, I saw the movie first with Gregory Peck.
Yeah,
and
so good.
A very, very young Robert Duvall as Boo Radley. And then I liked the movie so much, I went and read the book. And it was one of those, here's how it changed me. It made me realize the importance of when you see a movie, you got to read the book, too. You can't just rest on the movie because there's so much more to the book, you know.
Or at least Cliff Notes.
Or at least the Cliff Notes. Absolutely true.
I'm telling you, we are very lucky, and this is just really coincidental, that Harper Lee's distant relative, Bobby Lee, is on the show
today.
Yeah,
he'll be with us later on to
comedian
talk
about Bobby Lee.
About Harper Lee.
We have to ask him that.
What about the friendship between her, Harper Lee, and Truman Capote, one of the strangest people of the last 100 years?
That, they grew up together.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I just watched the movie Capote a few weeks ago that I had not seen before.
Yeah. Who plays him?
Well, there's two Capote movies. There's one where it's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's
where
right.
there, it's Toby.
Toby Keith?
It's not Toby Keith.
Not Toby Maguire.
It's not Toby Keith or Toby Maguire.
Hmm.
I'm blanking on his last name.
My neighbor Toby Tobias.
It's Toby Tobias.
It might be. It might be your neighbor Toby Tobias.
There aren't too many Tobies.
So it's okay. So everything's together here because Harper Lee grew up with Truman Capote,
yeah,
and then traveled with him to Kansas and helped him do research for the
In Cold Blood.
Yeah, oh, I love that movie.
And so and then there always were rumors that maybe Capote had a hand in writing To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
and everyone denied that, but you know that was always there that they had this relationship. And there's actually another book out, and it's up on Steve Bertrand on Books right now. If I can continue,
you can just post this, and this can be a new podcast shameless, on Steve Bertrand on Books.
Shameless self promotion, but
that's fine.
Melanie Benjamin, who is a novelist, she wrote The Aviator's Wife, and
yeah,
she actually lives in the western suburbs. Her new book is called The Swans of Fifth Avenue,
mm-hmm,
and it's about Truman Capote and how he sort of self-immolated in New York in the 70s after his successes in the 60s with Babe Paley and these socialite New York City women. Anyway, that book also deals with a little bit Harper Lee and Truman Capote doing research for this book.
And that's The Swans of New York is the name
of
it?
The Swans of New York.
I'll find
right.
that.
Toby Jones.
It's Toby Jones.
I have
He's
no
a character
idea who
actor.
That is.
If you saw him, you'd recognize him. He's kind of on the more diminutive side.
The what?
He's small. And,
that was sweet.
Yeah, I was making it nicer.
Oh, he's a little guy.
That's not as sweet as diminutive.
Well, he is a little person.
No, he's not.
He sure looks it.
I would put him somewhere around 5'4", 5'5", maybe.
I'm 5'6". He looks much tinier than I am.
By design. You could have played Truman Capote. You didn't try hard enough. I remember Truman Capote used to come on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, or sometimes he'd come on with Dick Cavett, and I had never seen anyone quite like Truman Capote. I don't know if anyone did.
That's the thing, and so this interview's up too, but Capote was this beautiful sort of darling guy in the 60s in New York society. You know, he was a handsome, dashing guy.
Yeah.
And then he just started boozing it up and puffing up, and he wrote this short story, I think it's called Lunch at La Cote Basque, where he, all these socialites that he had hung out with and lived off of and all of this, he wrote this short story and exposed all their secrets.
How about that?
Babe Paley and William Paley from CBS.
Yeah.
Very, very intimate secrets about their lives.
And named them? He used their names?
He didn't name them, but everyone knew who he knew, and it was so thinly veiled that it was clear who it was.
Yeah.
And so they ostracized him, and the guy never recovered. He died in Joanna Carson's guest house.
Johnny Carson's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Your mind is so sexy, Bertrand.
Is that it? Is it just
I'm
my mind?
I'm telling you.
I'd go with that, Steve.
I love it, though. Do you know who Freddie Jones, the actor, is?
Yeah.
The little person's his son.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just want to trump you.
What happened to the sexy part? We went from sexy to little people.
Yeah,
again.
I don't know. That's how it happens.
He played Truman Capote, Toby Jones,
and
Freddie Jones was his dad, not to be confused with the
Freddie Jones band.
Right. But it was one of those cases where, and you see this from time to time with subjects, there's no movies at all about Truman Capote, and then there were two within a year, and both of them were really good. And Harper Lee is featured prominently in both.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of hers, you get to know her a little better. So anyway, just to recap, it's very sad when you lose one of the giants of the literary world, and
Absolutely.
We did today.
Harper Lee, she was very, very ill for a number of years.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. A big show for you. We'll tell you what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Today's one of those shows that I think we have just a little bit of everything. Comedian Bobby Lee, who nearly got you and I fired last time he was on, will be joining us at 10:35 in just a little bit.
My finger is poised on the dump button.
Be ready. We'll talk to Ryan Burrow, who is in South Carolina. The primary is Saturday. He's got the inside scoop on what we need to know about that. And then the 13th sexiest scientist in all the land, Lucianne Walkowitz, will be by. There's a story I'm so anxious to tell her, but she's in the world of astronomy, so she probably already knows it.
I can't wait for you to break the news. I bet she doesn't know this.
You might be right. I know this is a terrible tease because people are like, well, what is it?
And she's not coming until 1:30, but you know what? That's a great tease, Bill.
All right. Stick around. I know you guys probably had stuff planned. Maybe you had to shop or pick stuff up or do something important or go to work. Don't, because there's a big story coming up, and it involves...
space.
It involves space. Very well said. Can I ask you this? Let's say something happened like Miley Cyrus getting married. That would probably make the papers or the internet or somebody would say something about it, right? Kevin and I, in three different sources today, found out that Miley Cyrus got married to Liam Hemsworth. That's one of the guys who tries to look like our producer, Kevin.
She didn't even run it past me.
I thought this was rumored for a while.
There's three different sources, including Yahoo, which is a fairly reliable source, saying that
Since the two of them...
You don't think Yahoo is? I think Yahoo is. But
like
they,
20 years ago.
They didn't have, did they have Yahoo 20 years ago?
I'm kidding. Yahoo 20. TMZ is the only place I get my information.
They say
that
they got
smack
married.
You.
You insulted Steve on a hard day for Steve.
I'm sorry to interject this, but that show amuses me.
Oh, TMZ? It's fantastic.
I can't stop watching it. I mean, and Harvey's so mean and snarky.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how you can watch that show.
I don't watch it regularly. I think I've seen it 8 times.
But it is one of those shows that when it's on, your hand doesn't want to change the channel.
It's just their fake sort of condescension is just...
There is that.
Oh, I enjoy there is it, that. Though.
And there's the guy with... There's a guy who's got like Jeff Spicoli hair.
I love him.
And I have no idea what his name is or what his background is.
Not important.
It doesn't matter. Just the fact that he's there, adding to the fun.
I love where they just, you know, throw out, it's like a think tank where they're like, so here's what I got, and here's what I think we should do. I love the whole setup.
It doesn't seem scripted at all.
Right.
Every
second of it is fake. Every second of it.
I'm kidding.
It's fantastic. So, all right, I have not checked TMZ to see if this is true, but if it is true...
I'll check now.
Miley Cyrus is off the market. She married one of the Hemsworth brothers. No, I have to tell you this. I forgot to tell you this. I found this out a couple of days ago. We always tease Kevin that either he's trying to look like the Hemsworth boys or they're trying to look like him. One of them, and I don't know if it's Chris or Liam or there's a third Hemsworth, Ringo, I think. I don't know which of the Hemsworths it is, but they're in the new Ghostbusters movie.
They are?
And in the movie, one of them plays the receptionist for the new Ghostbusters. And if you don't know the way it's set up, in the new Ghostbusters, it's all women. All the Ghostbusters are ladies, and then they've hired this hunky kind of a receptionist. So he looks like Kevin in the movie. I saw a clip of it, and what do you think his name is?
Kevin?
It's Kevin. They're totally stealing your act.
I'm going to sue the Ghostbusters.
You got to sue the Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God. Just ride the wave, will you?
The Ghostbusters wave?
Yeah, when the movie comes out, people are going to be double taken at you and just go, yep, it's me. I'm Kevin. And you won't be lying.
Arms, I think then. A little more hunky.
If that's possible.
You're plenty hunky.
If that's even possible. What are they showing at TMZ? Did Miley Cyrus get married?
Oh, I forgot where I was going.
What are you looking at instead?
I was looking at a really cute picture of Chris Hemsworth.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sure.
I was trying to find out the brothers' names. Ask a lot of questions, Bill.
It's Liam and it's Chris, and then there's a third lesser known, and I his name escapes me. I think it's lesser known Hemsworth. I think that's what his name is. His parents should have been more even when they named him, because I think you're destined your child to fail when you name him lesser known. But that's just me.
I don't know if they have it, that they got married. It's no, they bought a new home together.
Well, they can't do that unless they're married. That would be wrong. That would be a sin. Doesn't seem like Miley Cyrus would have it in her.
Thank you, Pope Bill.
You're welcome. Now I'll say something bad about Donald Trump.
You will anyway.
I'm going to anyway at some point.
All right. He married her. This is Liam.
Liam Hemsworth. They said are secretly married in a ceremony just months after rekindling their romance. That's according to the possibly reliable Yahoo.com.
And he asked her to marry him despite the fact that she has 5 dogs.
Yeah. I guess you see around stuff like that when you're going out with her, I guess.
You knew they were engaged, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think more than once. I'm pretty sure more than once.
Oh, Liam's pretty cute.
Are you shocked by that?
No, but I can never tell which Hemsworth is the best looking one. And it depends on my day.
Right.
Because Liam's jaw isn't as prominent.
It's probably Kevin.
You're Kevin.
Well,
there's no Kevin.
But there's the Kevin in the movie.
Well, there is too. He wakes up every morning in Wicker Park and looks at himself in the mirror.
I don't live in Wicker Park, Steve.
You can't vote for yourself for this, and you aren't Kevin Hemsworth.
It's the mirror guy.
There is no Kevin Hemsworth, you guys.
That's what I'm saying.
He gets up. He goes, "Good morning, Kevin Hemsworth."
Yeah. Why is that funny?
It's not funny.
You are adorable. Happy warm Friday to you.
All right, let's do this. A break. Wow. A break. More show. Bobby Lee will join us in just a little while. That's after Steve's news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I need a counseling fee.
Well, just wait. It's going to get crazier. Bobby Lee is here. Bobby,
I'm just so depressed.
I mean, don't start with that. Bobby's at the Improv.
I love you.
This weekend, I love you, Bobby Lee. The last time Bobby Lee was here, I don't know if you know this, they almost fired Wendy and myself because of your attitude.
I can't remember what he said.
What did I say?
It
you
was
said
questionable.
Some things that
well,
were
I'm
not...
Well, I'm going to edit, and I'm going to be a nice Christian
You
today.
Need to be a model citizen, Bobby Lee.
I apologize for what
All
I did
right.
earlier.
All right. That was last time.
All right.
I'm sure funny, though.
You've grown up a lot in a year, probably.
I haven't.
All right.
But it's really good to be back, guys.
Why you said you're depressed, and we don't want you to be. You're a comedian.
I understand that, but you know what? I was born depressed.
Were you?
I was born sad. If you look at all the photos of me as a kid, I'm crying or something.
But all
happening.
Babies cry.
Yeah,
that's
they
what babies
slap you
do.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Cry.
But then when I'm 14, I'm crying. Yeah, I'm sad.
What
well,
do you talk to
And the reason why I do comedy is because I never got girls.
Oh, Bobby.
Why?
Because I was a short, fat Asian kid.
Yeah.
A doughy body.
Could you cook, though? Because that might have helped.
No, I can't even cook rice. That's how sad I am. I'm an Asian. I can't even cook rice. I don't know how it works.
Wait a minute. Is that true?
Yeah. Do you put water in it? I mean, what happens?
You just order
look at,
it.
Look at this Asian right here taking a photo of me.
He likes you.
This is the I know. The one Asian walks by.
This is the most stereotypical moment in the history of the planet.
I know, right
now.
There.
Right now.
All right. Well, let me top that. Have you ever done acupuncture?
I have. It doesn't work.
Oh, don't
Listen,
tell Wendy that. Bobby,
I have just started doing it because I'm very stressed, and I had all the needles. And did you ever get cupping?
What's that?
When they take a glass, it looks like a round cup, and they suction. They just put it on your back like leeches.
Yeah, I don't do that because I'm not Harry Potter.
What are you talking about? I feel great.
You do?
Yeah.
You like medieval medicine?
It's not medieval.
Leeches? Yeah, it
no,
is.
It wasn't leeches. It was glass cups. I have these polka dot hickeys all over my back.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Okay, well, good. You know, I have Kaiser Permanente. I have a doctor and stuff.
Yeah, I have
he
that
gives
too.
Me, yeah, he gives me antibiotics and stuff, yeah.
Well, sometimes antibiotics.
I don't want to get confrontational with you because when I get sad, I get confrontational and I want to change my behavior.
I just tried to help you off the air.
You did. You
talk
said
you
that,
off the ledge.
You said that when you got older, you got your dream job.
Yeah.
Right.
This
yeah.
is my dream job and I didn't get it till I was 50. How old are you?
I'm 86.
You're 86 years old?
Was
you look
you're screwed.
I was in the original Karate Kid movies. I was in the first season of Happy Days.
Bobby, I think you're
remember,
thinking... You're
remember
thinking,
that when I ran the restaurant?
Yeah.
You're thinking
Al's,
of Pat Morita.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Nuriyoki Pat Morita.
That's me. I changed my name because I faked my death and I changed my name. Good to be here, guys.
Did you ever get to meet him?
No, but I was a big fan of his.
How could you? That guy was a lovable guy. That
I know
Pat
he was an alcoholic. You know that, right?
Oh, I didn't.
He
know
was.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
You could still be lovable and be an alcoholic.
Him and Don Ho were like in kin yeah. together, and they used to get drunk in Hawaii. Yeah.
Don Ho is that what inspired Tiny Bubbles?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
it is.
And there used to be a joke where Pat Morita would go to Don Ho's shows
mm-hmm.
back in the '80s, and he would go to the show Pat Morita just to do this one joke where Don Ho would go, Pat Morita, stand up. And Pat Morita would say, I am standing. I swear to God. And the whole audience would laugh. And that's the whole reason why Pat would go.
Did
just
he
do
leave
that one
after
joke.
That? Or
no,
he
would stay, get drunk, and hit on girls in Hawaii. Killed it.
You were just lamenting the fact that you have not had your dream job yet, but you've done very well for yourself. Mad
what?
TV was a huge
that's
hit.
Nine Mexicans watch that. That's a dream job. Raul Jesus watches it. Thank you, you two.
It was very popular.
Yeah,
how long ago,
great.
Bill?
I got $12 an episode.
That, you
they,
did not.
No,
they
I got
paid
more.
You more than
I
that.
Got
it's
more.
A great show.
Come on,
great show got canceled, but we just did a reunion show. Did you see it?
I didn't.
We
no. did.
Wait,
we
well,
were
we
not,
had one.
Where was this broadcast? Was it on TV?
Yeah, it was on. No, it was on my YouTube channel.
I
yes,
didn't know
TV.
They brought. I would have watched it.
It was on CW's.
Was it? Yeah. All right.
Who
was there for that? You, and
me, Nicole Sullivan, Will Sasso, Mike McDonald, Alex Borstein, Stephanie Weir, everyone.
Some of the greats, all the greats.
Yeah, Ike Barinholtz.
Yeah. He's doing well for himself.
Amazing. Oh, the Wayans, I'm hearing.
What?
Oh.
That's a different show. And, you know, and that's why I'm sad, because of comments like that. You know what I mean? You have your dream job. I don't have my dream job, and you make fun of me.
We don't want to make
saying
that this
is fun of you. Yeah. I loved your Fly Girls.
How's the relationship going? Is everything going?
That's the only thing that's keeping me together.
That's working?
That's the only thing that's keeping me together.
You found a girl who loves you and you love
her.
Why
are you looking at me like that and like, I'm not going to kill myself?
I hope not.
I won't.
All right.
I hugged you.
You did.
Bill, why don't you hug him?
Yeah, you didn't hug me.
We'll see how this goes.
All right.
If this goes well, you'll get a hug at the end.
Do you feel weird with me?
Yes.
I thought because I've been. Seriously, do you think that I have some sort of like other alternative motive?
No, you're here to tell people about the improv show. People want to.
You want me to leave right now just to plug and leave? That's what you're trying to do.
That's not me. No.
Tell us about your hot girlfriend.
My girlfriend's
so cute.
Beautiful.
That's what he says.
Where did you meet her?
I met her on Tinder.
Did you meet her?
I really did. 12.
I swipe right and magic happened. Well, I went on a couple awful dates before that.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that the photos, you know, the profile photos should be all like the whole body, not just the face.
Right. And what happened?
Well, like one girl, I'm like, God, she looks just like Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked her up and she looked like Natalie Portman, but she had the body of Michael Chiklis. She was like a Boston cop. Her hands were like thick hands.
Sure.
Yeah. And then she was like tumbling down these stairs.
Oh no.
And she saw me. I got a pic. So then I can't tell you where we went because I wanted her to listen and get sad.
I think she knows who she is.
Yeah.
Was it Olive Garden?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Olive Garden.
That was my guess.
No. It was nicer, a little nicer than that.
Unlimited.
But I was just looking at her face, not her body during the whole dinner.
Yeah.
I dropped her off. I never saw her again.
Is the body that important to you? Can
It
is?
Yeah. Right. Because, like, my body is not good.
So you want it to balance out.
Well, if I have kids, you got to give them a chance. Because, like my parents, right, they look like mythological creatures. My dad looks like... They do. My dad looks like Yoda. My mom looks like Gollum. So when they bred mythological creatures.
You're adorable.
I look awful.
You have bad head. I'll give you that.
Look at me. I have a flat face. Yes. Not being racial.
No.
But I couldn't be a president. You couldn't see me on a coin. It would just be like a line. Right? Yeah.
You could be president.
Of what?
Look who's running for president this year. You don't think, well, it's
you
in
know,
the paper.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for him.
You are not.
Just for the laugh.
But if those guys are
who's laughing?
I am. No, he's not going to win. He doesn't have a chance.
You don't think so?
No, I really don't.
He's way up in the polls, Bobby. Way up.
Over Hillary?
No, on the Republican side.
I understand that, but when they go head-to-head, what's going to happen.
Hillary's your girl, huh? Not Bernie Sanders.
He doesn't have a chance like Bernie
he's too
Sanders. Old. He's too old.
Is he too old? But his hair does what your hair's doing now. Which
I just woke up.
Oh, that's
I don't even know where I am right now. Am I in Cleveland?
Yes.
I love you.
You're in Cleveland. Bobby Lee is here. He's
can I
playing
plug
at
some
the...
things?
Can we take a break and you can come back and plug more?
Is that all right?
All right.
More with Bobby Lee in just a little bit. He's feeling better. That's the good news. He's at the Improv this weekend. Improv.com has your ticket information. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder along with Bobby Lee doing his best to behave himself. Right the ship.
Yeah.
He's appearing at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg tonight through Sunday night. Improv.com. Now, let me make sure I got this right. Last night, you flew out from Los Angeles on the red eye, and then you got in, and you have not slept.
I haven't slept at all.
In days, probably.
I feel awful.
Do you feel bad?
Yeah, my tummy hurts a little bit. Yeah.
Do you want Kevin to bring you some KO Pectate?
This Kevin character right here, back here, it's like, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make you, I'm not, you know, I love women. I really
sure.
do. But, you know, in a situation where I was in a war, you know, and we were sharing a foxhole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not necessarily on the same team. I could be on the other team. I don't care.
Right. And but you'd share
his
foxhole?
I might. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
Yeah. Him, Tom Hardy. I have a list.
Thanks.
Him, Tom Hardy, and then David Duchovny.
I'm with you on that. I'd fight you for him.
And here's another one. Here's a new one.
Who?
A guy named Tony Thornburg. He's a half Swedish. Look him up. Half Swedish, half Chinese model.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I fake, like, flirt with him.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And how does Tony react to that?
He laughs.
He does. He enjoys that?
Yeah. Right. I love you.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was at a club, I was with my girl, and mm-hmm. Tony goes, hey, come over to the bathroom. I go, you want help with your jeans or something? I'll fix them. And then I would disappear for a couple minutes.
Remember, you have to be on your best behavior, Bobby. Because
that's what I would say. I would fix his jeans, Bill.
All right.
I mean, your mind is corroded, friend.
He's Swedish and Asian?
Yeah, Asian. Look at that thing. Amazing.
Well, I'm looking at his face.
He looks like Steve Aoki, the DJ kind
of. He does not look like Steve Aoki. How dare if Steve, Steve Aoki looks like a sick him.
Fair,
if Steve Aoki had that, you know, Brazilian disease, whatever. What's that called?
Nika virus. Zika virus.
The babies.
Yeah.
Dama
yeah.
Nika. I get them confused.
That's not a virus. That's a virus. Song from the Flying Nun.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your voice.
Now, you know, I hope it's okay to tell people this. If it isn't, stop me.
Well,
years ago, you showed me a photograph of the girl you were dating at the time, and I had to break the news to you that you were dating a lady of the evening.
Yeah.
But you knew that, or you didn't know that at the time?
I don't even know what you mean by Lady of the Evening. She's a vampire?
No. Well, yeah.
What are you talking about? She's an X-Men.
Why would you ruin it? Let's go. Why would you tell him?
Yeah. She's a transvestite?
No.
A hooker?
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes.
No, she's not. And it's probably the wrong one.
No, because you even said to me when I told you that, you looked at the picture and you said, well, now a lot makes more sense.
Maybe in that particular photo she might, because she was like jazzed up. Maybe. You're being very rude right now, my friend. All right? That's the love of my life.
I thought you were with someone new.
This is 7 years ago.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Oh, she was?
She was what she was, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the $100 a night.
See, that's what I mean. If you're in a relationship with a girl, she's not going to charge you $100 a night. All right.
How long was the night?
I noticed something about your face, and I think you're cute.
Thank you.
But your lips are the same color as your skin, so I don't know where they begin or where they start. It's almost as if you're like a Muppet. Like you're made out of felt.
It's not almost like I'm a Muppet.
I mean, look, there's just no separation. Where are your lips, friend?
It's dry in here.
Is it dry? No, because I see the separation with you.
I have lipstick on.
Well, no, you have lips.
Do you want some lip liner, Bill?
Yeah, Bill.
If it'll make you happier,
next time I'm here.
I'll go in.
It's freaking me out right
I'll
now.
I'll have them done.
Yeah.
Get them cosmetically done.
All right, how does this make you feel? I've turned into Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
He's hot for Kevin, and he thinks you're a Muppet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very hurtful, Bobby.
Thank you
for
not
insulting
me. Your
skills as a DJ is on point.
No, at this point, I can only
I'm banned from the show.
Yeah, please.
Anthony Thornburg?
Yeah, Tony Thornburg.
That's the guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Look them up, guys. Even girls. Yeah, look them up.
Oh, yeah.
What star? I know over the years you have met some of the greats of Hollywood.
No, I haven't.
You haven't met any of the greats of Hollywood?
I mean, the biggest star I worked with was Ben Kingsley.
That's pretty big,
Bobby.
He was
Gandhi.
He's Sir Ben Kingsley.
He's the best.
He's
really
a
nice guy. I worked with him and Ed Norton at the same day.
Love
because
him.
I was in
from
the Dictator.
The Honeymooners or from the actor? Which one?
The actor.
Okay, so what did Fight you guys Club. Do together?
I was in the movie The Dictator.
That was a great
movie.
So
I had scenes with Ben Kingsley and Ed Norton in a couple of days.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's it. That's
what
my career.
What does Ben Kingsley talk to you about when you're hanging out with Ben
Kingsley? We sat on the couch and he goes, Bobby, when I'm speaking, I feel like you're not listening to me. I go, I'm not.
That's
he goes,
nice.
Why? Because the whole time I'm thinking, this is Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
What am I doing here? Because as a comic, you have to understand that I started in the open mic.
Sure.
You know, and so if you've ever been to an open mic, it's dirty. You're at a club. You're with other homeless people. They look like homeless people, open micers, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, one day, some guy in a suit goes, you're going to be in this.
Right.
And you get plucked from the herd of homeless.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're in a fancy situation. So it's shocking.
I can imagine. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting next to your working.
You!
With, well, you're
lipless.
Working with lipless Bill.
Yeah,
and then another day.
McGee.
Yeah.
And then another day, it's Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, but then you're back to depression.
What'd you tell him about his lips, Bobby? What'd you tell
Nothing.
Him? Nothing. Zero.
No, because he's perfect.
Yep.
There was definition between the skin color
and
the lip color.
Yeah, he's human.
That's why I didn't get the role in Gandhi.
Yeah.
It was Ben Kingsley.
You wouldn't get the role in anything except the Muppet Mode movie.
The Muppets have come back.
Yeah, maybe you can get a part.
He doesn't go to the bathroom ever at work. He can go the whole day without
really?
Going to the bathroom.
Yeah,
he
you're
is
a mutant.
Muppet.
That's my superpower.
Yeah. Is that your... If you were an X-Men, that would be your power?
Yep.
That's a sad power.
I don't need
That's
to.
A really sad power. I don't have to go to the bathroom. That's
right.
Your power?
I'm the guy with...
I'm Wolverine. I have claws. But you can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You look like you would have a sad power. Like an X-Men like
it's
convention.
Not sad.
I know. Like Cyclops, he has his eye thing.
Yeah.
And like you just, you're constantly constipated.
No,
that's your power.
Number one. We're just talking number one.
Oh, but you have to go number two sometimes.
I don't have to do one, two, or three.
Oh. You never have diarrhea?
Nope.
I would like to be you in a bar situation because once you break the seal, you have to go like every half beer.
Yeah.
He just never goes.
Are you married, Bill?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. Wait, what does that mean?
Well, does he work like at Sesame Street?
Shot. All right. I'm going to have my Muppet lawyer sue you. You Kevin, is, tell is, my is Muppet
Elmo?
Lawyer
is
I'm
Elmo?
Suing Bobby Lee.
Elmo.
Oh, man.
Sue me, Elmo. You're making me cry. You're so funny. And thanks for not slamming me.
Before I go, I have to pitch some things.
What do you got?
All right, so I'm reoccurring on a show called Love on Netflix. It's Judd Apatow. Mm-hmm. I'm only in three little scenes, but that's all I have right now.
But he's going to give you more.
We're already working on the second season. I have at least one episode revolved around my
good.
Guess.
Awesome.
So that's
on that.
One thing. Number two, I have a podcast with my girlfriend called Tiger Belly. Why are you laughing?
I like the words tiger and belly
Thank you.
Together.
Tiger Belly is what it's called.
All right. What do you guys talk about on Tiger Belly?
My sexuality.
All right.
And then my third thing is Schomburg.
Yes, well, you're going to be
I'm in Schomburg this weekend. Come check me out
tonight through Sunday.
It's going to be great.
You will cry with laughter.
You'll weep with laughter. Yeah. And then Bobby has his own website. Believe it or not, it's BobbyLeeLive.com.
I love you so much.
Thank you, Bobby, for being here.
Thanks for having me. I like coming here every year.
Well, come here every year. I like your underpants on your banner on your website.
Thank you.
When we see you, we know it's spring.
Thank you.
And you're like our human Groundhog Day.
You happier now?
No.
Still not.
Thank you. No, right. I am. I love you guys a lot. You guys are really good at what you do.
Thank you, Bobby. You are too.
Okay.
It's Bobby Lee. He's our friend.
Now grow some lips.
We'll take... I have to go because my friend Guy Smiley...
I mean, does your wife get paper cuts when she kisses
All right.
you?
You're under arrest. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Epp and it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, you can call or text us. Ryan Burrow, our friend Ryan Burrow, is in South Carolina, the site of the primaries tomorrow, actually. Hi, Ryan. How are things?
Good. In fact, I don't want to brag, but when I got the assignment to go to South Carolina in the middle of February, I have to say I was a little shocked, and I don't mean to brag, but, you know, it's 52 degrees.
Oh, yeah. It's
freezing
here. Yeah,
it's going to be 60 here.
Shh, don't tell Ryan that.
Sorry,
freezing.
Pick the wrong day, Ryan. Although I have to ask you something. I am not a politico. I really don't have a lot of interest in politics, although things are starting to heat up and now I'm intrigued. Is it typical to have a weekend primary?
Yeah. You know, a lot of states are starting to do that now because, you know, it kind of takes away some of the excuses of the people who say, I had to work, I had to go to school, I didn't have time. You know, I think eventually, you know, and we might be just a couple years off from this, I wouldn't be surprised if we vote online at some point. Now, you know, that opens up a whole new can of worms with hackers and, you know, how do you set this up so it's secure and, you know, things like that. But, you know, these election commissions, they want to try to make this as easy as possible. And so a lot of states are saying, let's do it on Saturday. You know, more people are off work those days.
Ryan, I don't know if this story is getting play out there in South Carolina. My guess is it is. It must be with all that's going on over the weekend. But Ted Cruz's camp sends out a photograph of Marco Rubio shaking hands with Barack Obama. It's a Photoshop picture. It's not a legitimate picture. People are saying that that's kind of low ball, even for a political campaign. Is that getting much reaction there in South Carolina?
I got to tell you, there has been so much noise here since that Saturday debate. I mean, was that we all heard the highlights of with the you know, candidates scrapping with each other. I mean, we've had the Pope and Trump thing going on. You know, I think that people are starting to solidify who it is they're going to vote for. Although there are still some undecideds. You know, some of these political campaigns, these political ads, some of these news stories that have come out. I mean, it's just another piece of this very broad puzzle of just this absolutely chaotic campaigning that's been going on here. I haven't heard anyone talk about it specifically since I've arrived. I've been to a Rubio campaign event and just kind of tracking some of the other chatter. People are aware of it. Whether or not that's going to sway a person one way or another, I just don't know at this point. We know that, I don't want to cut you off here, but if this was something you wanted to talk about, but the Pope thing doesn't seem to have as much of an impact here as maybe it would in Illinois, just because there aren't quite as many Catholics here as you know, in other pockets of the country.
It's a big Protestant area in South Carolina, correct?
It sure is, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people here, they're not taking their marching orders from the Pope, and a lot of people here agree, especially the conservatives agree with what Trump has to say about building a wall and you know, tightening immigration in this country. I mean, if you look at the responses from the other remaining five candidates, they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, yeah, we kind of agree with Trump. You know, we want to build a wall. We want to do these things. And so you're not getting a lot of backlash from conservatives, specifically here in South Carolina.
All right. I was going to ask you that because I'm just wondering now if he's starting this Pope war so people will finally lose interest in him, because he can't lose. It's like he's now trying to go, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
You know, Just because it doesn't seem to have an impact here in South Carolina doesn't mean it won't have an impact down the road. But South Carolina is focused on jobs. They're focused on Second Amendment. They're focused on immigration to some extent. But it's just not one of their top priorities. Now you take that topic and you put it right before Illinois, or you put it right before Massachusetts. You know, Boston obviously with a lot of Catholics. New York City, maybe it's a different ballgame, but here in South Carolina, it's just kind of whatever, you know.
Ryan, Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, is very, very popular. She endorsed Marco Rubio. What kind of sway does that give him?
It gets him a lot because, you know, Jeb Bush had been pushing very, very hard to get Nikki Haley's endorsement. In fact, all of them wanted Nikki Haley's endorsement. She's very, very popular, not only here, but, I mean, nationwide. She's seen as a real up-and-comer. Her and Marco Rubio are the same age, kind of the same pedigree as far as, you know, them kind of coming up in the political system. And so it was a little bit of a shock to some of the other candidates. For Rubio, it's good news because it's just another card he has to kind of chip away at Ted Cruz. Right now, this does look like Donald Trump's race to lose, and the focus seems to be more on that second-place spot, which would have its advantages, especially if if Rubio is able to kind of surprise Ted Cruz with all the evangelicals here. Remember, Ted Cruz won Iowa. A big reason for that was the evangelical vote. He was hoping to kind of continue riding that wave here.
But Ryan, do they consider that to be a victory? Whoever comes in second place, is that considered victorious to them?
Well, obviously first place is, where you want to be.
Sure.
But I think you have to be realistic at some point. I mean, Donald Trump has been leading in the polls here for quite some time now, and by double digits. Now, things have kind of thinned out a little bit as we've drawn closer. There was this polling done by NBC, Marist, and the Wall Street Journal that showed his lead about 5% over Ted Cruz. But it doesn't seem like, anyone's going to be able to overtake Trump at this point. So, it's important to note, too, that second and third may not be so bad, because fourth, fifth, and sixth is not a place you want to be. You know, that's where your Jeb Bushes and John Kasich and Dr. Ben Carson seem to be living. And for those guys, if that's where they finish, down there at the bottom, they've got some serious thinking to do after this, especially Dr. Ben Carson, who says he doesn't want to finish anywhere below third. That might be tough. He might have to reevaluate the system. For Jeb Bush, he's got a lot of money. So maybe if his handlers think he can kind of wait this out and, you know, maybe something happens where he can sneak into that top three, that might be his opportunity. John Kasich, he's been really working Michigan hard. So maybe that's kind of his firewall. And if he can succeed there, he'll continue his campaign. But you don't want to finish 4, 5, and 6 in South Carolina. That's
a bad sign.
Yes, that's a bad place to be, yeah.
All right, we're talking to Ryan Burrow, and he is live in South Carolina. Finally, I just want to know, can Hillary Clinton rebound at all?
You know, it's interesting. Here in South Carolina, at least, the representative, James Clyburn, just came out and backed her. That's a big win for South Carolina, although she seems to have a pretty good grasp on the African-American vote, although it's been, kind of whittling at times. I know she's got the money. Obviously, Bernie Sanders brings that up in all the debates, all the super PAC money she's got. She went quite deep into the primary season against Barack Obama. So I think that, she's well prepared to continue doing that here. It'll be interesting to see, kind of where Bernie Sanders can see success. You know, we've seen it among college students, people interested in healthcare, as well as paying for student loans or college, I should say. But, you know, Hillary Clinton's kind of closing line in that debate in Milwaukee was, I'm the candidate who can, you know, span multiple issues. I'm not a one-issue candidate. And that seems to be kind of the place where Bernie Sanders is stuck in. He's very good at talking about taking down the big guy and you know, trying to bring up the little guys. But on the other hand, there are a lot of other issues at stake. And in each of these states, they're very unique. And, you know, Hillary Clinton's trying to morph into each of these states, whereas Bernie Sanders is, you know, staying strong with his one message. So we'll see how it shakes out. Still got a long ways to go. This is only state number three. So
only 47 more, Wendy. We're almost done. Ryan, can I run a quick marketing idea past you? Tell me what you think about this. Do you remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Remember that game?
I do.
All right. So it's a new version of Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and one of them is always, always, always Donald Trump. And the other one you can switch. Like sometimes it's Ted Cruz, sometimes it's Marco Rubio, sometimes it's Hillary Clinton, sometimes it's Rosie O'Donnell, sometimes it's the President of Mexico, sometimes it's the Pope. You get like 80 figures that you could put on the other Rock'em Sock'em Robot. Wouldn't that be a great toy?
I think that's fantastic. I you know what? I think it'll be huge.
What would be the sound?
Every time you hit. Although with Trump, when you hit him, it would be his hair that goes up instead of his head.
Oh, I like it.
So I'm working on it. I'll have that ready.
You can't hit him. You can't hit him.
Right.
It'll be perfect.
Boxing robots love me. They love me.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Have a great, exciting weekend, won't you?
Oh, yeah. 52 degrees.
All right. Don't rub it in. Thanks, Ryan. That's our own Ryan Burrow. Yes. We got the better end of that, didn't we? A break and then more show. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN. I saw on the Facebook page yesterday, and we have our own Facebook page. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, and it's on Facebook. It's the best place to put a Facebook page, I think, Facebook, that some people said that they enjoy the show, but they wish that we were a little more kind when it comes to some of the political candidates. So with that in mind, I will say this about Ben Carson. I think Ben Carson is a good guy. I don't know that he's equipped to be the president of the United States, but whenever I see Ben Carson, what I see is an extremely gentle man.
Exactly.
He's Gentle Ben. He's the original Gentle Ben.
I agree with you. He seems kind, gentle, caring.
Doesn't he? I think there's a lot more good about Ben Carson than there is bad.
Agreed.
But that said, I think as great of a surgeon as he probably was, I don't know that those skills translate to the Oval Office. I'm not positive. However, I will say this about him. Here's an interesting story that I just found about Ben Carson. And this, I think this plays into the attitude you have to have when you're running for the presidency. I know that it's a very grueling schedule and you're getting questions from all directions and you have to spin everything a certain way or you'll get torn to shreds. I get that. But yesterday he's in Orangeburg, that's a town in South Carolina, and they're peppering him with questions. And one of the questions was, what does he think about the likelihood that he, Ben Carson, will become the next president of the United States? Now, when you're asked that question, when you're in his position, there's several different routes you can take. You can be honest about it, and you can say, I got to be honest, I'd love to be the president of the United States, but I'm realistic, and I see polls, and I see who's where. I get that. You know, here's what Ben Carson said. Again, he was asked in Orangeburg, what about the likelihood of him being the president? Here's what he said, and I quote, I think the chances are good because you have to recognize it's like the all-American pastime, baseball. You don't call the game after the second or third inning, and there's a reason for that. I think as time goes on, people will begin to rally and pay attention to what's being said. They really become serious.
Now, that's kind of sweet.
It's sweet,
maybe not realistic,
but not realistic.
But I mean, I guess you can't really compare it to a baseball game. I like his.
But you know what? I'm the king of comparing everything to baseball. I love to use baseball as an analogy. And if I can, I will use his own analogy to say, yes, this would be the second or third inning. But in a baseball game, if the Cubs are playing the Padres and they're winning 11-1, the odds are pretty good that when the game is over, the Cubs will have been the victor in that, right?
Well, he's a gentle soul. He's Gentle Ben.
He said it, trust me, he said it very quietly and calmly. And he moved his hands in a weird way Simon Bar-Sinister used to do on Underdog.
How about that?
No.
But we talked about that earlier, and it's because he's a surgeon and he works with his hands. Right. So when he's not working with his hands, he does not know what to do with them.
Right. That's what it is.
Because Simon Bar-Sinister was a surgeon, too.
Was he a surgeon? I know he was a doctor. He was a scientist, right.
He had to mix things.
They should give Ben Carson like a Rubik's Cube or something so that he has something to busy his hands with whenever he's speaking.
Take it.
That would get a lot of notice. Right. So that he should knit. He should just bring, like when he's talking,
he should be
making a sweater for somebody.
Rosie Greer would like that.
Rosie Greer would love that.
Well, that Bob Dole had his pen that he held on, and why did he do that again?
More out of necessity.
His hand didn't work properly or something.
Yeah, he was injured in the war, and he kept a pen so that it wasn't as obvious, although then the pen itself became obvious that he always had a pen. But yeah, his fist was always clenched, so they figured out... To put a pen in it.
That's genius.
How many times have you needed a pen? And you go, well, I don't have it. Where's my pen? Bob Dole never says that. He goes, I got a pen. So good for him. But, you know, I do like Ben Carson a lot. I don't know that he's the right guy to be the president of the United States. But I admire the fact that even now he's going, I think my chances are pretty good.
Chances
are pretty good.
Now you have to say something nice about Trump.
Well-tailored suits. Don't you think?
Nice save.
Very well-tailored suits. We'll take a break. We've got news. Kim will give you the news and then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kim, thank you. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. That's our text line. On Friday, we like to talk to Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com and find out what's going on in the world of television. And he's here right now. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Happy warm Friday.
How about it?
Happy warm Friday. Yep, absolutely. The X-Files is coming to an end for now. Yes.
No,
Wendy,
no.
It is.
They've introduced new characters. That's who's going to take it over.
Well, for people who don't know, they've brought on two younger versions of the main...
Well, I don't want spoiler alert.
They might have done that. They might not have done that. But they said at the beginning, you get 6 episodes. That's all you get. If things go well, maybe we'll bring it back. Where do things stand after this week, Kurt?
It's still right there.
Yeah?
I mean, things went well, and so the Fox president has said that nothing's happening yet, but he would welcome.
It's going to happen.
Ratings were good. People seem to like it.
They seem to like it. Yeah. They seem to be enjoying themselves, don't they?
Well, they always want to do other things, and I think they don't want to be stuck in that same character
right
forever. But if it's 6 episodes a season, why
we
not?
Have things
and
changed.
Also, Fox is calling this coming Monday's episode a season finale.
Oh.
So
that's telling, isn't it?
Too.
Yeah.
That they would hope that something happens. And apparently it's just huge all over the world. Like, they're airing it pretty much same time type of thing all over in all the countries. So
how many seasons did it run originally? Like 8 or 9?
Yeah. Oh, was it 11 seasons?
I think so.
Yeah.
Duchovny left after.
Oh, that's when I stopped watching it, I think.
Yeah.
But I think there were 11 total.
Somewhere in there.
And they are available on Netflix. And people watched it then. I don't know if the ratings were phenomenal. Were they?
Well, it was on Friday nights, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Because I remember I worked a 9 p.m. shift and I would always come in late because I would watch that first and go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Friday night, so I think it was probably maybe good for Friday night.
Well, let's hope they figure a way out to bring this back, because it's been fun to watch, even though it's been 6 episodes. You know,
it's so good.
They do a nice job with it over there. All right. Again, we have to be very careful on how much we divulge, because I know that people watch this not necessarily when it airs. But The Walking Dead came back on Sunday with an incredible episode. Wendy, you said it was...
best episode of the series.
How about that?
Ever.
How about that?
I think so. I mean, you had everything you wanted. It's funny because someone texted me saying, why aren't you guys talking about the Walking Dead? It jumped the shark. I'm out. I'm like, how could you say that? It was, you know, too much. It was phenomenal.
Well, I always like that they, you know, you get a little dead fatigue, I think.
Do you?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Walking Dead fatigue, you know, okay, the humans are always the worst, you know, they're worse than the walkers and everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, and a lot of people have felt that way.
Yeah.
But I like how they continually find a new, like a new twist somehow, you know,
sure.
and a new
way to succeed.
Yeah, and So that I feel it continues to be challenging.
You know why it's working, Kurt? Because we watch what's going on in the world of politics, and we need something lighter and friendlier to get our mind off the carnage of politics.
Exactly, exactly. That's it. And also, just the if you're into the whole gore thing, they always find like the most incredible new ways to kill off.
That's the funny thing.
The dead and even the people.
It is becoming way more graphic. I mean, way more.
Sure.
That's not why I'm watching.
A lot of people it is.
But it's almost getting too much.
It's very much the living version of the comic book, you know, in that it shows all that.
And it's
gore.
Taken that route, the comic book route, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
They're trying to link up their universes. They want the TV version and the
graphic novel.
They'll
always do what works best for the drama the drama. But, I mean, they always shift things around.
I read this great story online about how now it's become commonplace for the actors. Once they get the script and they realize this is going to be the end for them on The Walking Dead, they don't want to leave the show because it's a great show to be on, and they talk about how comfortable the work environment is. So yet again, another actress, this time the one who plays Jesse, that was Rick's girlfriend, she made a plea to one of the producers saying, spoiler, if there's ever a time that I'm no longer on the show, I don't want to leave the show. So I've come up with ways, if you ever decide you don't want me anymore, I've got ways to keep me on the show.
To come back as a walker.
Well, not necessarily. With her, yes, but other guys who have tried that in the past have said, hey, instead of killing me off, I'd kill that guy off. It'd be a lot better for the show if you killed that guy off.
A little political maneuvering.
Yeah, that's
on
going
there.
On behind the scenes.
I wish Shane was still on. I liked looking at him.
Oh, but wait until... Do you watch Daredevil on Netflix?
No, but how...
That actor is going to be the Punisher on the new season of Daredevil, which starts in March. Amazing.
Is he good?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember his name. It's John
Barenthal.
John Barenthal. Yeah.
I'm president of his fan club.
Are you the president
me?
Of the John Barenthal fan club?
He is so good in that. He's just like he was in this.
All right. I might have to watch that.
Kurt, we've got lots of listeners that want to talk to you. They have questions for you. We're at 312-981-7200. Can we take a call or two? Are you okay with that?
I'm fine.
You're fine with that? All right.
All right. This is Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. You have a question?
Well, yeah, I do. You guys are always the best. I was thinking about this the other day, watching Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big person to watch the ratings. Can he explain to me or to us, your listeners, how it is that they have decided they're not going to continue this? I mean, they already got the broadcast where they're doing, I think, 5, 6, 7 days a week. But they...
The syndication,
but they have the originals. So they've decided they're not going to continue this series, you know. And being from Chicago, they do a lot. They do a lot of work to show a lot of Chicago. It's a great series. And from what I understand, you know, the actors and actresses really would like to continue, especially Melissa McCarthy.
Really? Because she's on the big screen now. I almost, once you hit syndication, isn't that where the money?
Oh yeah.
Comes?
Yeah, the money comes in with syndication. But
see, I thought the same thing, Wendy, because when she has a lot of other demands on her, but I read that she says she wants to continue this show.
We should get Carla Felicia on the line, my childhood friend I've known since sixth grade. She's a writer on Mike and Molly.
Oh, really? You should.
Wow.
What do you think, Kurt? What's behind this?
Well, see, I don't know why they're ending it, but I thought it was because Melissa
McCarthy
had other things.
That's what I heard, too. She's got all kinds of movie offers.
He wants to stay on because he doesn't have much going on, does he?
Well, he hosts. There's a game show that he hosts.
But she's also producing.
Like I said, he doesn't have much going on.
She also, her and her husband have a couple of shows they're producing. I think that at least one of them was made into a – or was got a pilot order.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's incredibly busy, so that's what I thought it was. But
have you read or have you heard that she did – when they first announced it, she did come out and say – I'm really disappointed, and I really would like to continue this. Or am I completely out of...
Maybe she said, I would love to continue this, but I can't anymore. Because don't you think if she wanted to,
they'd find
keep
a way.
Doing it?
I think they would. I'm not sure what the ratings are. It's usually still top 10, I think. But they have been moving it around a lot. on the schedule. Maybe CBS just has other things going on. You know, every time a network gets a new boss and
an angel gets its wings,
they sort of want to put their brand on the network a little bit.
And Kevin, something I don't understand either. It's like, you know, when they decide to end things, you know, in my opinion, if something's working, just let it run forever, but that they don't feel that way anymore. That it's not in the old days, you know, where they'd run for 20 seasons. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even when they first announced it, and I really believe I did read that Melissa McCarthy, even though she was so hugely successful in the movies and things like that, she was very disappointed that this was the decision that was made by CBS.
Hmm.
I'm still scratching my head thinking, well, what's going on?
Well, we'll try and get to the bottom of that.
Out, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, this.
Thank you very much.
Hollywood Reporter thing I'm looking at now, it says that it's kind of CBS, I guess. That they've been shopping it around elsewhere.
Well, you know what? She also said, because they're bringing back the Gilmore Girls for a limited run, and she had a reoccurring role on the Gilmore Girls, and she's not in the reprisal. And again, she said, I would have done it. They didn't call me. But I'm sure if you're them, you go, well, she's not going to do a little bit part.
Maybe they couldn't afford her.
Oh.
Yes, that I'm could sure
be
that's it.
That could be it. Her price may have gone up.
Why do they do that? They discontinued Gilmore Girls. If you quit, you're out. I mean, why? You can't. It's not like Michael Jordan. You can come back and retire.
Wait for it. There's a wave of old shows.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back. And,
Run out of ideas.
Gilmore Girls, one of them. Fuller House, I think, just started.
No.
Yeah. Or it's coming out.
Yeah, it's the 20-something.
The Prison Break thing last night.
That's coming back?
Yeah.
They're doing a short season of that, too, sort of like I think they did The X-Files. And what was funny is Wentworth Miller and what's his name?
Dominic Purcell.
Are in DC's Legends of Tomorrow on CW. Yeah. And last night, it was funny because Dominic Purcell's character was thrown into a Soviet prison. And Wentworth Miller's character, when he was being told how they were going to break him out, he goes, his character said, "This isn't my first prison break."
I know what to do. This isn't my first prison break.
And I couldn't stop laughing.
Nice inside
joke.
That
was so funny.
Love it. It's fun
when they do that.
We'll take a quick break. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have a question or a comment, 312-981-7200. We'll get that done. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. Great website if you're a fan of television. We're at 312-981-7200. If you have a question or a comment for Kurt, he'd be happy to answer them.
I would.
All right, we're going to fly through these. And Susie, you've been on hold. What's your question for Kurt?
I'm a big fan of American Crime. I was amazed with this past Wednesday's evening, a show when they had the on the screen, it said, due to viewer discretion. And to see that on ABC was just something, you know, that's not someone's not familiar with and that. And it was a terrific show this past night. I was just jumping out of my seat.
Yeah, they do that, though. They'll put that warning up there to let you know it's a
little. But this is especially.
I mean, it was an excellent show.
Yeah. It was. It is. And, you know, ABC's, this is basically a cable drama that ABC's doing. And it's on ABC. It's amazing. And sadly, not very many people are watching it. So I'm so glad you called in because more people need to be watching it. This is the second season. And it's another one of those where they change same cast, different story.
Like
an anthology.
Yeah.
And, you would think it was a cable show.
Yeah, I know. It's totally like a cable show. And next week's episode, let me tell you, will knock your socks off.
How about that, Susie?
Put on two pairs of socks, Susie.
Wear two pairs of socks.
Thank you so much for calling.
Timothy Hutton still in that?
Timothy Hutton's in it this year.
Yeah.
Felicity Huffman.
Lily Taylor. Oh, she's
Chicago
good from
native.
Here. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And Connor Jessup, who's this Canadian actor who used to be in Falling Skies, is amazing. Hmm. This season's about a kid in high school who gets a guy who gets raped at a party. Thrown by the basketball team by one of the basketball players, and it has all the stuff to do with being gay in high school, being closeted, being closeted on a basketball team, you know, male on male rape, all this other stuff.
Jeez.
It's so intense and so perfect.
Yeah,
it's really really good.
The first season was magnificent.
The first season was great. It had a little bit of sort of grandstanding. This season, that has all been sort of tempered a bit, and it's more with the story, you know, with the people and the story and
American
everything.
Crime.
Yeah. And this is ABC, because remember that they were pushing the envelope a bit with NYPD Blue, too, because they used words that you didn't really hear
and
on
every week
network
you got
TV.
To see a butt.
Right.
Remember
well, this
and a short sleeve shirt.
Sometimes a short sleeve shirt and a butt. Yep.
Sipowitz's butt.
Yep.
And
was the original title, remember? And the network turned it down.
That was the episode title.
Right. Right.
CJ, how are you? Quick question.
BJ, how are you, darling?
Hi, BJ.
As much as I've told friends not to call me during Bill and Wendy, somebody called me.
How dare they?
At the beginning of the discussion, were you talking about the discontinuation of The Good Wife? I nearly fell over.
Well, we talked about that last week.
We talked about that last week. They
I wasn't here. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. The creators of that show always thought it should be a 7-season show, and so they had announced that they were leaving at the end of this season previously, and CBS then decided, you know, well, we should probably honor their wishes and try to continue it without them. So that's why it's going, and all the cast agreed, you know, because everybody I guess feels so.
Sorry, BJ.
That's bad news
for
BJ, obviously.
Thank you for calling. We have to fly through one more because, Denise, I had you on and we got disconnected, so you had a question for Kurt Wagner?
I do, and I love you guys. I wish you were on 24 hours a day.
We're working on that, Denise.
Thank you. We don't.
We're hoping to get that done for you.
I need to sleep.
Anyway, tell me about Elementary. I love that show.
Elementary.
Okay, what do you want to know about it?
I mean, is it good for several seasons? I noticed they had, you know, compacted the episodes this year.
I don't know.
What is Elementary?
It's
a retelling of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in modern day.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's on CBS. It's in modern day.
I thought it was about an ML.
Lucy Liu is his Watson.
Love her.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of stuff has been shortened. The seasons have been shortened because the networks, I think, are trying to compete with cable and have year-round shows and switch up their shows more, and I think the writers like it because it's easier to write smaller seasons and keep the stories. Yes?
So are we good to go? Is it going to continue?
As far as I know, I haven't heard anything different about it.
Oh, great. I mean, it's to me, it's complex, it's intelligent, it really keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Sounds excellent. Thank you. I should check that out. I thought it was
about
elementary school, and I'm like, really?
No,
that's not that fun.
It's got Sherlock Holmes and Watson. It's fun.
I think he solved a crime at it.
There was one episode where he solved a crime.
Shocking.
That was excellent. Kurt, thank you. We appreciate
you
being here. We hope you have a great weekend. That's Kurt Wagner. And again, the website is tvshowpatrol.com. It's a good one. We'll come back and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks so much. Hi, guys. It's us again. It's Bill and Wendy. Thrilled that you're here. It's Friday, the best day of the week. We're at 312-981-7200. Join in, would you?
It is fun watching the people walk down Michigan Avenue getting blown all over Tarnation.
Yes.
Where
is
Tarnation?
Windy. Oh, boy, that's out in McHenry County somewhere. I don't know.
It is so windy. Did you report on gusts, Kim?
It's 60-mile-an-hour gusts at O'Hare, and actually I do have some updated numbers from O'Hare. Everything's fine at Midway, but they have canceled 85 flights, and delays are now running 20 to 60 minutes delayed.
Because
so if you
of the
are
wind.
Going, yeah, because of the wind. So if you are heading to the airport or have a flight, buckle up.
Do you know how scary that is when you're taking off and there are gusts going on this?
It is scary.
It is. It freaks me out.
I don't remember a time that many flights were canceled due to the wind, though.
Well,
I know every once in a while.
That's
serious.
A lot. I just took off from California not too long ago with Santa Ana winds.
Yeah.
And you didn't even need a plane, did you?
It was a bumpy ride. Let me tell you, and it was a beautiful, gorgeous day, so you're not really nervous about the weather, but you felt like you were in the middle of a thunderstorm.
Have you ever been in a car that, because some cars handle the wind better than others, depending on how your car is grounded, but I used to drive a very small car, and when it was windy, it moved the car around on the road.
It still does that.
Yeah.
I had it today even driving.
Did you?
Yeah,
in what sort of car?
An SUV.
Oh, wow. That's serious.
SUVs will probably feel it more because they're taller.
Right. They say high-profile trucks.
Oh, I guess it would.
Yeah.
Did you not feel it? I don't know if it was as windy when we came in.
It wasn't bad this morning, and I haven't driven since, but I was going to take a glider home anyway, so this actually benefits me.
You'll be in the express lanes with the glider.
I will. I'll get home in record time. I'll be fine. We wanted to bring this to everybody's attention. You decide if it's disturbing. I would vote yes, but I'm not the arbitrator of all things disturbing, so you decide. This is a story out of Russia. What they've done in Russia, this happens in Moscow.
Is lie to the people?
Well, yes. They do that too sometimes, unlike here where the politicians are very forthcoming. They've put up posters, giant posters, at the bus stops in Moscow, and we have pictures of them. So even though we're telling you about this, if you want to see them for yourself, they'll be on our Facebook page momentarily. What they are, it consists of our current president, Barack Obama, and he's smoking a cigarette. And that's not the hardest thing in the world to find. You've seen pictures of Barack smoking a cigarette, right?
Right, I have. I still don't believe he's quit.
Well, we can get into that, but that's a good point. But here's what it says. You got a picture of Barack Obama, and he's got a cigarette going. And then here are the words. Now, they're written in Russian, but this is the translation for what the words
say. You speak Russian?
I barely speak English. I'm trying my best to get through English, so the Russian would be a challenge. Here's what it says. It says, smoking kills more people than Obama, although he kills lots and lots of people. Don't smoke. Don't be like Obama.
That is unbelievable. This is for real.
It's
this
for real. From There's the pictures. Onion. No. There's pictures of it. Now, currently, we're quote unquote friends with Russia, right? Right now, we're supposed to be friends.
So Putin said that's cool to put that up?
Putin took his shirt off. He put the posters up by himself.
I'm smoking in a different way. I'm smoking hot.
That's what he said when he put the posters up. How disparaging is this, though?
That's terrible.
It's awful. I don't think you compare. Now, it's tragic that Barack Obama has smoked. Smoking is a terrible thing. That you can't even debate that, can you? There's very little upside to smoking.
There's no upside to smoking, and when you know your president smokes, maybe people are not as quick to quit.
Right, I guess.
Barack Obama smokes.
Yeah, he doesn't seem the type. And I know you'll say, well, what is the type to smoke? But I've told you this before. I can almost tell if you give me 10 minutes with somebody, I can walk away going, that's a smoker. I know that guy or that girl smokes. I think Adele smokes.
Would you be able to know by looking at her?
Yeah. You know what my first clue is? I look for a cigarette. If they've got a cigarette in their mouth, I go, that's a smoker. That person
Seriously?
Smokes.
You have perfected your science.
Well, I'm something of a junior detective.
He doesn't appear to be, but he
seems to together to doesn't he? You know what I mean? Like a lot of times, people who smoke, there's a nervousness to them.
No.
And it's like I need the smoking.
You've
to
never
keep
smoked.
Me.
You don't know. I smoked. You don't. It's no. I mean, you can't
tell the difference with somebody.
No,
they've got like
I don't,
a weird nervous energy and the smoking kind of.
No, I've seen people on cocaine like that.
That's what I meant. Cocaine. Did I say smoking? I can't tell the difference.
See, I know what you mean, though. Just he's a president. You wouldn't think the president of the United States would smoke.
I would think he'd be a guy I would imagine that if he did smoke, and he did, he'd be able to curtail it and go, I don't need to smoke. And he would just stop smoking. That would be the end of the smoking.
But it's an addiction. It's not even, I mean, a lot of it is a mental addiction,
yeah.
A physical addiction.
Yeah. I would like a cigarette that smokes punks. I think that would be cool.
A cigarette that smokes punks?
No, a president. Did I say cigarette?
Yes.
I want a president who comes right out and says, you know what I smoke is punks, those weeds by the creek. I like to have a punk going. That would be a cool president.
Punk president.
Right. That would be cool.
I don't know that he quit. He allegedly quit. He promised Michelle he would quit, and he had the patch on, and he's done a lot of things. But, I mean, you listen to his voice, you know he's a smoker.
I guess a little bit. So you're saying he's still, even though he has told us.
It's hard to quit, people.
He has stopped. You think he's still sneaking the occasional Winston-Salem?
I think Michelle would have something to say about that.
She's very healthy. I can't see that working unless there's like a carob cigarette or something healthy.
They do make the American Spirit all natural, no addictive, no chemicals, just plain
straight
tobacco.
Straight up nicotine?
Old tobacco.
Oh, straight up tobacco? Is that what's in a cigarette?
You're so innocent.
I don't know
do
what's
know
in
that?
A cigarette. I smoke the candy cigarettes. I'm trying to get off of those. It's very hard to break that. You'll see me on a cold day sitting behind the building just smoking one of those. I don't know. I used to work with a guy years ago at another station. I won't say his name, but it's Dave. And he smoked all the time. And he'd always say to me, if my wife ever found out that I smoked, she would kill me. And Dave, there was like an ashtray aroma to Dave. Like you couldn't, there's no way in the world anyone who knew him didn't know he was smoking. But he'd always go, yeah, my wife would just, she'd kill me. How is that possible? How could you do something that often? And
he showers. He has an outdoor shower, and he showers before he comes
before
in.
Before he comes in the house.
Has a whole different wardrobe. Has an outhouse with a closet rod in
there. You'd have to.
Yeah, because you can smell it.
He smoked more than anyone I know, and every time he'd smoke, he'd talk about, I love doing this at work, because at home, this would never fly. And I go, she knows you smoke. She has to know.
Michelle would, she wanted him to quit. He said he'd quit, but I still don't believe it.
Not sure?
I've not seen him smoking. I, you know, I don't, on my Google Maps, I try to look around the White House to see if I can see him out in the back, hanging behind the White House shed, which is right. Also white, the white shed, they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's where he'd go.
Sneaking a little smoke.
There, if you Google him smoking, there's pictures of it. There's plenty of evidence
but
that he has.
But at first, didn't you think those were fake? Because I did. And then he flat out said, you know, I'm wearing the patch. I'm trying to quit.
Right. Right. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We have a big show for you. Can I just mention a quick guest or two? Because this is very impressive. The 13th sexiest scientist in all the land, Lucianne Walkowitz, will join us in a little bit. There have been some strange things going on in the
in my mind, first of all. Because you're going to talk to her about something.
Yeah. I found a story that has to do with outer space that's both whimsical and frightening at the same time, and I want to talk to her about it.
And you said,
maybe
oh, she, you know, she's from the Adler. She obviously knows. And I said, I bet she doesn't know this one.
Right.
Isn't that how Bill spends all his time off looking for space stories?
I found over 400 space stories that I want to talk to her about. And then also Dr. Shane Larson. And Grant Mulvey, my best friend in the whole world, will be here.
If he's your best friend in the whole wide world, why didn't you know he was playing in the alumni game?
The way Grant and my friendship works is we like to keep secrets from each other and then surprise each other at the last minute. That's why. All right, a quick break, then more show.
You're nuts.
Bill and Wendy, WGN. Are you familiar with the concept? I already know you are. I know you, so I know you're involved in this in some way, shape, or form. The potluck dinner. You know what a potluck dinner is. You probably participated in one of those.
Everyone has but you, because you will not eat what other people make.
Yes, true. No, I will, unless they have dogs and cats. Then I will not. Listen to this. Well, go on.
No, almost every house out there has a dog or cat.
Yeah.
Or a chinchilla.
Right. Right. That's true, isn't it? If you were to throw a potluck dinner, a potluck meal in Arizona, you could be thrown in jail.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, it is. The anti-potluck legal situation, it says here on Huffington Post, started years ago when the state passed a law that subjected all served foods to safety regulations.
I knew this
and
was
health department inspections. It had to be, right? It had to be.
Then don't come to my potluck.
All right. The lawmakers...
This threw the entire Lutheran religion in Minnesota into a tizzy.
Right. Because that's their sustenance. That's what keeps them around.
The potlucks.
That's all they have. The lawmakers explicitly exempted potlucks and other non-commercial social events if they occurred at a workplace, but then they forgot to add schools or churches or homes. And you would think homes would be the most important one, but they didn't include those. They only said in the workplace. So if everybody brings something to work, I know they do that in the newsroom, don't they, Steve, on Friday?
Oh, yeah. Usually
every
on a
Friday?
Yeah.
Today is Filipino Friday.
Yep.
I'm going up there to visit more.
You have to bring a dish to pass.
That's the law. They don't let you in if you don't have something.
Phil's a dish.
Bring me.
I want to see you pass him.
See what happens. As a result of this, of them forgetting to add schools and churches and homes in their law, a potluck host could be fined or even arrested if somebody complains.
Can I turn someone in if I don't want to participate? Because, as you know, I'm going to all the productions of Legally Blonde at LT High School.
Yes.
And Sunday, there are two shows at 2 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the moms, started this potluck, basically, where they're looking for parents to bring in stuff so the kids can eat between the matinee and the evening performance.
Because
if everybody goes home to get something to eat, then you risk, you know, practice straggling in late. So they are looking for like 6 people to bring a pot of pasta that will feed 10. So they I think they need 10 people because they're trying to feed 100 people.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to bring in a big pan of lasagna. So can I turn them in and then?
Well, if this was Arizona, yeah, they'd all be in the huskow, as they say in Arizona. Or maybe that's Russia. I can't remember where. The loophole had gone. Well, now what are you going to do really quickly? Do you know what you're going to do?
I think I'm just going to get, there's like 5 people that need to bring 36 rolls.
Yeah.
So I think I'll just bring that.
That's easier.
I don't have time.
No, you're a very busy woman. You don't have time for this. The loophole has gone unnoticed for the most part until a couple of years ago in Apache Junction when someone decided to complain. Bah, bah, bah. A resident of a mobile home park.
There you
who
go.
Was aware, it's always the mobile home people, Wendy. Who was aware of the statute complained to authorities about potlucks being held by neighbors. This according to AZ Central.
I got it. She wasn't invited, or he. Doesn't it seem obvious?
Yeah, I bet that is it. It'd have to be it. You know, I want to stop the story for just a second to tell you why I think that the potluck does not appeal to me. The name implies desperation to me, doesn't it? Like potluck sounds sad to me. If it had a better name, I might be involved. But just the mere sounding of the name potluck, it just sounds like, oh, someone's down on their luck. It's sad. They had to scrape something together. We're just having crumbs. It just sounds sad to me.
I guess it does. It's not a very appealing, like...
Whoever named it didn't work very hard.
A sharing party.
A sharing party sounds better.
Or Foodapalooza.
I would go to that.
But potluck, where did that term come from?
It sounds like hobos that just don't have enough to eat, all getting together going, well, I have a scrap of food and you have a... It sounds sad to me. I want a better name on it. Pinal County deputies, or do you say Penal County?
I say penal, you know that.
Penal County deputies shot down the potluck and then opened a whole can of worms, according to State Representative Kelly Townsend. I think it was a legislative oversight. We've had those all the time. We go through statutes, and they're called technical corrections. So this is kind of like a technical correction that wasn't intended on shutting down all potlucks. It's a health issue.
Well, yeah, I think you said that like 10 minutes ago in the first sentence.
I did.
Do you want to know where potluck came from?
Yeah. Is it going to be sad? Because it sounds sad, doesn't it?
Steve Bertrand on books might know this. It was one of the first published instances using potluck was by Thomas Nash, with an E at the end, who wrote during Shakespeare's time. In 1592, Nash included the term in his stage drama Summer's Last Will and Testament.
Oh, I love that one.
That's a good one.
The original text in which the word is used states, quote...
No, they didn't have texting back then.
You know, it's a funny story, Bill. They wanted to do a sequel to that, but they said, well, the title is Last Will and Testament, so...
We can't do a sequel.
The producers were furious.
How many shows at Zany's tonight?
2 shows.
Ah.
No waiting.
Go see Steve Bertrand.
Plenty of tickets still available.
All right, the original text in which the word is used states... Because you are my countryman and so forth, and a good fellow is a good fellow, though he have never a penny in his purse.
That was actually really good, Wendy.
We
had
but even potluck, a little to moisten our lips.
See what I mean?
And no more.
Doesn't that sound...
You don't have lips.
I don't have lips, but for people who do have them, that sounds desperate.
We had but even potluck. It still doesn't.
It doesn't sell it. It doesn't sound like something you'd want to be a part of.
It was a meal that had food available. Oh, if you got a meal where food was available, it was kind of luck of the draw.
Yeah.
So we had, but even potluck, a little to moisten our lips and no more. You're right.
Doesn't that prove my point? It just sounds like we don't have anything. I mean, I'll find something. If there's any luck involved, we'll find something, but it won't be good.
I'm going to just bring the 200 plastic forks to the Legally Blonde.
Bring that. News is next, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, this room just got so much smarter. I mean, it was smart to begin with, but now...
No thanks to us.
No. No thanks to us at all.
You know, this is one of my favorite segments. When we talk about science stuff with Lucianne Walkowitz, astrophysicist, Adler astronomer, artist, rocker, many things. And she has brought a guest, Dr. Shane Larson, a research associate professor at Northwestern University. He is also an Adler astronomer and a member of the, is it, it's not Lego.
It's It's LIGO.
The LIGO team that made the
but
discovery.
But there are LEGO LIGOs out there.
So. Are there LEGO
Seriously.
LEGOs?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is an important moment in space history, Bill.
It is.
Einstein, it turns out he was right, and there are gravitational waves. I have no idea what I just said, so why don't we go to the experts and find out about this?
What does this mean? Please.
Well, I think, Shane, you should take a crack at observing this. That, that's funnier than
this,
you realize.
Right? Right.
Because you did observe this, didn't you?
We did. So the thing I always tell people is everything you've seen, a picture in the paper or, you know, a magazine or a book about space, almost every one of them has been taken with light of some kind, whether it's light your eyes can see or light that we've built an instrument to see, like radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a new way of seeing the universe, looking not with light, but with gravity itself. And it's something that we've kind of known should be possible for 100 years. And it took 40 years to convince us we could do it and 60 years to build an experiment that, that was capable of it.
We understand 60
years to build an experiment.
That's a long time. That's
well, it took 25 years to build the experiment, but it took us, you know, 60 years from the moment we thought we could to do it.
You're patient.
And this year is 100 years since the idea came to Einstein as a part of the general theory of relativity.
Yeah.
So, Shane, I've been using this comparison, and you can, since you're the expert, you can tell me whether this is apt or not. So in explaining this, I make this point that you just made about light being how we observe most things. So including our, you know, friends and family, light is bouncing back to my eyes from you all.
Right.
And sound, of course, is another kind of wave that people are familiar with, where sound waves will vibrate, you know, a medium, say, air, and travel to you. So I always use this idea of a drum where if you see
always with the rock and roll.
That's how she rolls, right?
Yeah. Drum rolls. So if you see a drum, it's because the light is bouncing off of you, off of the drum to you. If you hear the drum, it's because you're detecting the sound wave from the drum being struck. But gravitational waves are more akin to the actual vibrations, the ripples in the drum head itself. Because these are really ripples in the fabric of space-time, right?
Yeah. So the kind of the hard thing that is difficult to wrap your brain around is that we're talking about space-time. And what is space-time, right? Those are both words, space and time, that we use all the time. But as physicists, as astrophysicists, it means something very specific about the structure, the substrate that the universe is built on. And the fact that we can think about it and imagine it when we're not used to it in our everyday lives is, I think, a testament to the creativity of Einstein to start with, and, you know, the difficulty that we've had for 100 years to try and figure out exactly what that means.
Was Albert Einstein the first person to throw that out there as a possibility? He was.
Yeah, he really was. He was trying to understand. So he had previously in 1905 taught us that nothing in the universe can travel faster than the speed of light, that there was an ultimate speed limit.
Yeah.
And once that was decided, you know, scientists and astronomers had done all kinds of experiments to convince themselves that was true.
Yeah.
But they started looking at all the laws of physics to try and understand how it actually worked its way into the way we perceive the universe. And he decided that gravity just didn't pay attention to that rule, which convinced him that gravity was wrong. And it took him a decade to figure out how to write down what we call general relativity, which Lucienne just mentioned. Where space-time came from.
When he would get something right, whose job was it to go, nice going, Einstein? Because somebody did it, right? That phrase means something.
So famously, right? So when he wrote down general relativity, he proposed some experiments to do.
Yeah.
And the first such experiment was actually going out and watching a total eclipse of the sun, which we're going to experience here in Illinois in just a year or so, right?
Is that the Bonnie Tyler song?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Very close.
You can experience that anytime. There's a great video on YouTube if you've never seen the video for that song.
So in 1919, that was the first test, and it took until the 50s before the last test they proposed was actually completed. So
what does this mean to us now? You know, it really, it made headlines all over the place. Was this a couple weeks ago that this came out?
Just last week,
you know, gravitational
waves.
We've
known since September, right?
But. Yeah, this is an interesting astro-sociological point of view. Is never, ever play poker with this man.
Oh, bet.
Never. No gravitational wave physicists at the poker game. They have known since September.
And they didn't say anything
How
until now.
How could you
now.
Have kept this quiet?
No, we denied it.
You denied it.
So we said something. Yeah, we just didn't say the truth.
Lies.
You should run for public office. You really should.
But okay, so gravitational waves detected, confirming Einstein's theory. Yeah. What does this mean to us?
The consumer.
Or just the general public that, you know, this is a, you know, you guys are geeking out over it, and I see it, and it's like, oh my God, this is huge. I don't know what I'm excited about.
Well, I compare it to as though we have an entirely new sense. Like, you're familiar with, you know, sight and hearing and touch and taste. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and you had an entirely new way of perceiving the world around you. It's that transformative for astronomy.
Really? Yeah.
And it allows us to study the dark universe, things like black holes that, you know, typically we have to observe indirectly by their effect on things that make light.
That's right.
And now we get to actually trace their effects on space-time itself. So it's a way of directly observing that part of the universe that has eluded us for so long.
I can see why you're excited. Will we have space travel? Will we have, you know, time-space continuum? Will we be able to time travel?
Well, you know, so everyone asks that, right? Because this is all about space-time, right? But the truth is that what this teaches us is about that part of the universe that we have difficulty thinking about space-time as a unified fabric that the universe is built on. And while it's not going to teach us how to build a flux capacitor and have a time machine, right, what it will tell us is more about how space-time is constructed and put together. And so it will lead to a much deeper understanding of space and time and teach us about mysteries that we don't know the answers
that
to.
That is really cool.
All right, you know how you said the first one is light. So that's an obvious one because we see practical applications of that constantly. And the sound waves, I guess, could translate to something like sonar, which kind of uses sound waves to bounce off. That's what sonar is. Mm-hmm. So is there an equivalent of that with the gravity waves? Is there something that's that concrete that those of us who aren't in the business can go, well, we can measure now?
So the kind of heuristic way, I think, to understand it is in terms of gravity itself, right? So you're sitting over there across the table from me, which our listeners can't tell, but let's say you are. Okay. And my two hands are each a black hole.
Yeah.
Okay? So over there, your head is feeling the gravity from this black hole pulling on you in one direction and the gravity from this black hole pulling on you in another direction.
Right.
And if those black holes move...
My head will explode.
Orbiting around each
that
other.
That would be cool.
We're trying not to like explode scanners. Your head in this experiment. So if the two move, this one's pulling on you more strongly, and this one's pulling on you. So the gravity you feel over there has changed.
Oh, it would, wouldn't
right?
it?
But Einstein taught us it takes time. Nothing can get to you faster than the speed of light. And so that information is traveling to you at a speed at the speed of light.
All right.
That's analogous to what the gravitational wave is doing.
This is really cool. I'm sorry, I don't get it all, but I see how excited you guys are. And every time you come up, Lucianne, and so nice to meet you, Dr. Shane Larson, it just shows you what's out there and how much we have to learn. And it's pretty cool stuff out there.
It's a little bit crazy some days, yep. Yeah.
We have to take a quick break, and then we have some listeners who have some questions, and then Bill has a space story of his own, which came straight from his head.
Yeah.
That talk about gravitational pull.
Right. It did. I know. I'm going to have to buy another shirt.
312-981-7200. Why don't you go powder your nose and clean up your head?
I'll be fine.
312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Is
there
life on?
There's the Bowie you requested, Lucianne. All the way from the Adler Planetarium, Lucianne Walkowitz and Dr. Shane Larson are here to help explain the mysteries of space and time, and you guys are doing a great job. And now callers want in on it, listeners want in on it, 312-981-7200.
And Tim is on the line. Hey, Tim. Are you are you confused about this, Tim?
My eighth grade son was writing a paper on this, and I didn't feel very intelligent trying to respond to the same questions that you're asking.
I know, and I feel really stupid. It's not the first time. It won't be the last. But you just ask questions so you find out more, right?
Exactly.
Did you have a specific question?
So if you read the announcements in the paper, and congratulations on the find, all these scientists were sitting around and heard this sound. And so the sound had to be created by something. And the way I look at it, it was two black holes that collided. But it sounds like they collided 1.3 billion light years ago. Is that correct? And how do you measure that?
Yeah, so that's correct. So they were 1.3 billion light years away. So the light, or the light, the gravitational wave signal has been propagating towards the Earth for 1.3 billion years. So at the moment the black holes collided, multicellular life had not developed on Earth yet.
Right? And you can judge. You can.
Yep. It just hit me. this is my aha moment.
Here
Oprah,
it is.
Take that.
Here it is. And you could, it's easy to define that length of time because that's the last time the Cubs won the World Series. So all you
that's
need to
right.
do is
yeah.
look at that.
That's right. Yeah.
Tim, did that click for you? Does that make sense now? Because that just blows me away. We're just hearing about it now.
It's even more confusing because, as she said, there wasn't cellular life at the time. So how do the scientists, are they able to estimate that? It was 1.3 billion light years.
Yeah. So it's built into the gravitational wave data itself, right? We know what the shape of the gravitational waves that we saw are. We know what the spacing of the waves are, and we know the overall size of the effect we measured on Earth. And when you combine those numbers together, we can work out all the properties that you hear us tell you about the source that created them, the mass of the black holes, whether or not they're spinning, how far away they are, and so on.
Hmm. And it's safe to say that one light year is one calendar year?
So a light year is a measure of distance, but it's the distance light travels in one calendar year.
So these gravitational waves travel to us across space at the speed of light.
Yeah.
So this is a difference between the way that Newton conceived of gravity and the way that Einstein did, which is in Newton's world, you know, probably everybody learns that Isaac Newton was sitting under a tree
right.
and an
sure.
apple fell on
him
and
on the
knocked
head.
Some sense into him. Well, Newton was able to describe, like, how things moved in space and worked out, you know, he was no dunce. worked
before
out.
Before the apple hitting.
Right, yeah. After, he was never the same. You know, but in Newton's world, gravitational force was instantaneous.
Yeah.
And in Einstein's gravity, you actually have gravitational waves that propagate across the universe and travel at the speed of light. So indeed, this merging of these two black holes did happen a billion years ago, more than a billion years ago. But mm-hmm. it's taken that long for the signal to get to us. And, you know, Wendy, it's funny that you phrase it as like, oh, my God, it just hit me right now. Because technically it hit you back in September of last year. Because these gravitational waves, like that's the baddie thing, right, is that they are actually falling on the Earth all the time. And so at the same time mm-hmm. that this gravitational wave passed through the LIGO detectors, it also pass through you.
Sure.
That is
didn't
wild.
Even know it.
Yeah. So really the benefit to the consumer, because gravitational waves both stretch space in one dimension and squeeze it in the other, is that they make you, you know, thinner or taller, whichever one you want.
Awesome. Hey, what? Tim, thank you for calling, and good luck with your eighth grade son.
What light year should we be writing on our checks right now, then? I'm confused about that. All right, here's the story that I want to ask you about, and maybe you're aware of it and maybe you aren't. According to this, and this was on... Well, several sources are reporting it.
Bill puts his glasses on right now to make himself
to make
look
me
smarter.
Look more like
Did
a scientist.
That?
Did that work?
It works great.
I have a lab coat I may put on toward the end of the story, too. And a beaker. Kevin, get me my beaker. They say that you can read it for yourself, but it says a monkey has been spotted sitting on top of the rocks on Mars. Now, I know. It sounds like something I've made up.
You are going to be the joke at the Adler Planetarium Astronomer
now,
Dinner Party tonight.
That'll
you
be
know.
3 years in a row then if that happens. As NASA explores Mars through the Curiosity rover, believers in extraterrestrial life continue to point out discoveries of their own. The latest comes from somebody named Scott C. Waring over at UFO Sightings Daily. In a post dated February the 6th, he writes, "I found a monkey slumping as it sits on a stone alongside a hillside." And they have pictures of what looks like, you know, your common Martian space monkey just sitting sitting on a rock.
Aren't you embarrassed yet?
I was embarrassed when I walked in. Not more or less embarrassed. But they don't have monkeys on Mars, do they, guys?
So your brain is very good at recognizing things you're familiar with, right?
Thank you, Shane. Yes. Yes.
Specifically
like
your
monkeys.
Brain.
Right.
He loves monkeys. He has wanted a helper monkey for years.
I enjoy monkeys, and space monkeys are the best of all monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, this is an amazing thing about the human mind, right, is that we are very, very geared towards pattern recognition. Yeah. That's true visually. It's also true of the information that we take in. If we have a particular theory or a way of thinking about the world, we tend to selectively pick information to remember that fits with that.
Sure.
And we do it without even realizing it. And so that's why you hear, you know, stuff about there's a face on Mars, there's a monkey on Mars, there's David Bowie on Mars, whatever happens on Mars this week.
Yeah.
Is really kind of an amazing trick of the human mind because, you know, if you think about it, we developed to be able to recognize predators. Things that might have faces are, generally speaking,
sure.
other humans yeah. or like other mammals that might be threats to us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we evolved to have that. And so it, you know, holds over and we see faces and things that we recognize in a lot of places that they yeah. aren't.
Like our brain kind of fills in the blanks for us. Yeah. Is that kind yeah. of what happens?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But if that did, if they found monkeys on Mars, that would be a much bigger story than hidden in the back
yeah,
of the internet.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking about LIGO today right, if we did right. all life on another
space
planet.
Monkey talk.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I guess what Bill is asking you is if and when you do find a monkey on Mars, would you please come here first to break the news?
Please.
Yeah, sure.
You promise? All right. That's all we ask.
Just like Bill came to us first, we'll come right. to him.
It's only awesome. Fair. Shane, it's only fair. Thank you guys for being here. It's always fun to talk to you. It's Lucianne Walkowitz from the Adler Planetarium and then also Dr. Shane Larson. We appreciate this. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Anytime. Come on down and ask us more questions.
Excellent.
And what's the website for the Adler? Adlerplanetarium.org.
Perfecto mundo.
Yeah, as scientists say.
Is Fonzie on Mars?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Fozzie on Mars.
We'll take a break. We'll do some news and then more show. It's us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. Our next guest is the greatest player in the history of the NHL, and he's my best friend, and his name is Grant Mulvey.
Hi, Grant.
Hey, hello, Wendy, and how's my best friend Bill Left doing?
I'm doing great, best friend Grant Mulvey. Just doing great. How are you?
I enjoy listening to you two. You make me laugh so much. I love the kind of the split, you know. I get it at 10 and I get it in the afternoon. It just keeps my day so enjoyable. I just love listening
that?
To both of you.
That's our goal. That's what we were speaking of hockey. Well, thank you, Grant.
You are the nicest guy in the world, and I have to tell you, Bill is not that great of a best friend.
Oh, don't.
Because I heard Steve Cochran talking this morning about the, you know, Minnesota Wild face our Blackhawks Sunday afternoon. It's NHL Stadium Series of outdoor games. Entertainment lineup, do you know what's going on there? Pretty exciting. Soul Asylum.
Yeah, I'm actually up here now. I spent the week up here because of business, but I'm here in Minnesota. And the Stadium Series, the Blackhawks against the Minnesota Wild, is going to be exciting. It's outdoors. It's in a great, great building. And and then we're playing tomorrow afternoon against the old Minnesota North Stars. And we get to see the likes of Dino Cicerelli. But then we're blessed to have Jeremy Roenick and Murray Bannerman and
Bannerman,
the great, great, great players that played in the Blackhawk uniform. So we're blessed to have a whole bunch of guys getting together, and we will have definitely the best player because Eric Daze is on our team.
Loved him. And Eric Daze was quite a player for the Hawks. Good.
This is the All-Star game, and I believe we are airing it right here on WGN Radio at 4 p.m. And so I heard this morning with Steve Cochran, they're mentioning all the, you know, former Blackhawks that are playing. Steve Conroyd is going to play, and they mentioned Grant Mulvey. So I come in, Grant, and I said, you know, your best friend in the whole wide world is playing at the All-Star game. And he didn't think that was true, but you are.
Oh yeah. I've been working out, and remember, Wendy, I was really slow when I was good. So when you now see me and you go, God, that guy is really slow. I was really slow a long time ago.
But Grant, you've heard the phrase. They say this phrase: slow and steady wins the hockey game. That's a phrase that we've all heard our whole lives. So you're fine.
Yeah, that's what I always said. You know, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
So, I like it. That's what, you know, you and I, not only are we best friends, Bill, mm-hmm. you and I think alike.
Yes.
And you keep alike. Secrets from each other.
That's the key to our friendship, Grant, to me. We're surprising each other all the time. That's what we do.
All right, now Cheap Trick is going to have a performance during the first intermission of the This is the Stadium series the Blackhawks playing on Sunday afternoon, which, of course, we are going to broadcast as well. But I love the jerseys. You got the little Chicago stars on the neckline, which is pretty amazing. And you, who's going to surprise you the most being out there?
Well, as I said, Eric Daze seems like he could still play today. He is he's so much bigger and better than I ever thought. I didn't play with Eric. He's younger than me, and he is just a fantastic player. And then we're, you know, our oldest player is Cliff Coral, who runs our alumni association, and he's going to be playing. But then we get the likes of Jeremy Roenick and Chris Chelios, and as I said, Murray Bannerman, and you know, we've got Jamal Mares that had just retired. I think he won a Stanley Cup a week ago, and he's on our team now. So I'm feeling pretty good about our squad.
What happens when all of a sudden, Grant, you put on the Hawks sweater and you're skating with guys that have been playing the game for years? It transforms you, I bet. It makes you feel younger, doesn't it, somehow?
Well, it makes you realize just how honored you were and are to be a part of such a storied franchise and such a wonderful organization and what they've done. And they've always been a wonderful organization. Back in, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, they were always very, very good. And the Wirtz family has always been a wonderful ownership group. And now the success that they're having is just fantastic. But, you know, you put that jersey on and you stand out there, and I think of my mother and father, and I just think just truly, truly how blessed I am. And really, I'm just so honored to be a part of this whole thing.
You got a nice mention the other day, not you by name, but a group that you're a part of, Grant. They were, during the Blackhawks telecast the other day, they were talking about the Blackhawks alumni and all they do for scholarships for kids, and I know you're a part of that. You want to give us a second or two and talk about that?
Yeah, actually, our luncheon is coming up next week. It's on March 7th, and it's in our Keith Magnuson Scholarship Luncheon. It's in his name. Keith was the starter of the Chicago Blackhawk Alumni Association, and we dedicate to the most deserving high school hockey player, student athlete. And we have been the awards have been given out. We're coming up on our 100th scholarship. We've given way over, you know, $1.5, almost $2 million out in scholarship money. And it's been a driver that Keith Magnuson wanted to have with the Alumni Association from the beginning. And Cliff Coral, who is our president, and many of us, we're good soldiers. And you know, that we work in the community to try to give back, and our Alumni Association is just so proud of our scholarship, the Keith Magnuson Scholarship Award, and it's just a special, special day on March 7th that we'll award three, and many of the recipients now are female.
Yeah.
And we have now many times we give three scholarships out every year. And in some cases, there will be two women and one man, mm-hmm. because it's really, truly the most deserving high school hockey player, student athlete. And these students are coming in with, they're coming in with grades and what they do in the community, and they're captains on their team, and both men and women, they're doing such a great job. And I'm just so proud of all of our guys.
That's good stuff you're doing there, Grant. You know that, but it really is great stuff you're doing. I hope you got to see a little bit of the conference, you know, the Blackhawks going to the White House and then President Obama talking about them, talking about the team. Did you get to see that?
You know what? Unfortunately, I was sitting in business meetings. Oh. I was sitting in leadership meetings for my company, and I didn't get to see it, but I heard, I talked to Jeremy Roenick this morning here in Minnesota, and he said it was a real special, special event.
It was really touching to see them out there, and I am just like crazy about the Blackhawks this year. We won the cup last year, but looking what's happening on the ice, we've got a better team this year, it looks.
Well, I'm just so proud of the way Patrick Kane is played and his leadership and everything that he went through in the early part of the season, and now his leadership and his guidance throughout this this difficult time, and he's just staying right on top of his game. He is playing exceptionally well. In my eyes, he's the most talented, gifted, offensive hockey player in the league. And with our leader, Jonathan Toews, they're just not going to lose. And I like our position going into the playoffs again this year. And hopefully we can get back. It comes down to a little bit of luck, but a lot of healthiness. And I know Joel will start to think about the time off, and he's a great coach. So I hope that we're back there in June playing hockey.
And speaking of coaches, your coaches for this big all-star event, Tony Esposito and Pat Foley, huh?
Well, I was with Pat last week. Pat actually skated with us last week in preparation, and I think Pat is going to have a little surprise when he comes out on the bench, it'll be worth watching the game for. And then Tony is always good for a laugh, but Pat is going to be he's so much fun anyways, we're going to have a little bit of fun on the bench, that's for sure.
You know, Grant, when I was a kid, they did this primarily in baseball. They would have what they called the old-timers game. And I always thought, boy, if I was a former athlete, I think I'd resent that phrase, old-timer. They don't call this game an old-timers game. And it's a good thing, right? That would hurt your feelings. I don't want your feelings to be hurt.
No, and my best friend. I mean, I'm not an old-timer.
No. No.
You know, it's amazing when you're young, you think of people that are our age is really, really, really old. But when you're our age and my age, you know, you don't think you're that old.
Nope.
So it's old timers or alumni or whatever they call us. We just have a lot of fun. It's really, when you look at Cliff Coral is truly all of our idol. You know, he's like the iconic player right now. He's 69 years old. He'll be 70 years old in October. And Cliffy skates as well as anybody in their 30s and 40s still.
Sure.
And he is, you know, so if I can be playing hockey when I'm Cliff Coral's age at 69 and 70 years old,
yeah,
I don't care what they call me. It'll be fun, but I'm blessed. I'm going to have my son here with me, and he's going to enjoy the weekend. And thanks to him that I'm in good enough shape. Heck, I'm down to my playing weight. So
wow. Great job.
I hope I can back check. I never back checked when I played, so I'm not sure exactly how to do that. But
did you grow the mustache back for the alumni game, please? Tell me you did.
I got one of those. I already got the glasses and the big nose, so all I need is the little thing that you put on the end of the glasses or something.
Great.
No, I didn't grow the mustache.
Grant,
just for you, Wendy, just for you, I'll put some black tape on my
No, you're going to look like Hitler. Don't do it.
Grant, there's a scene in Pride of the Yankees where a sick boy asks his favorite player to hit a home run for him. Would you score a goal for me in the alumni
you're not
game, Grant?
Sick.
I have a cold. I have a slight cold.
Bill, I hope you're not sick.
No, I have a slight cold.
Yeah, a slight cold.
Yeah.
You know what? If I score a goal, I'm going to get the puck and I'm going to bring it to you on Monday afternoon, and I'm going to present the puck that I scored the goal with. So if I score a goal, I'm going to get the puck.
Wow.
And I'm going to give it to you. And we will create a charity around that
all right.
For all the sick people in Chicago. How about that?
Wendy, that's what best friends do. That's
yeah, but
how
there's
it
two
goes.
Of us, so now you have to score two goals and bring a bye on Monday.
Wendy, too, please.
I don't know how much I got left in.
All right, go for the one. See what happens.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Go for one. And seriously, everybody better watch this. I can't wait. Saturday alumni game, 4 p.m., Comcast Sportsnet. And Grant Mulvey is definitely in the game. And then Sunday's game, the Wild versus Chicago Blackhawks, 2:30. Can't wait.
Yeah, and we're really looking forward to it. And again, thank you both, and thank you to WGN for really bringing hockey back to a major sport.
Grant, you're too kind. Have a great time out there, and like I said, score a goal, would you?
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Grant.
Andy.
Thank you, Grant.
The great Grant Mulvey, my best friend in the whole wide world.
You can have him. I love him, but, you know, I don't want to touch on, you know, your territory.
He is the best. All right, we will take a quick break.
Do you chant that every day while you're riding your bike home?
There's a couple moments that I devote to that. It's my mantra.
Man crush.
It's my man crush-tra. We'll be right back. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Guess we had a little power surge.
What happened?
I don't know. Somebody thought I was censored. It says, who censored Wendy?
Oh. Did that happen? I hope that didn't happen.
Was it Trump?
No, he wouldn't. No, I can't imagine him doing that.
There was a little glitch in the force.
Oh, so we were off the air for a little while?
A little stuff going on.
All right.
But not long enough for 630 to say, gosh, I just love you guys. And hearing Bill giggle like that just brings a smile to my face. And have a great weekend.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Does Grant still have the porn star mustache?
He does no longer. I don't know. Back then, I don't think that was considered a porn star mustache. People just had mustaches like that back then.
You know what? You're right.
That was just a look people had.
Did you have one?
Porn industry. No.
You had a beard.
I did have a beard. And yeah, I guess I did have a mustache and a beard for a while.
That would look kind of funny if you just had the...
I had a cabin out in the woods. And I would go hunting.
That is so not true.
Yeah, none of that's true. But I did have a beard and a mustache. Very strange, right? Because that's not like me.
But when you were shaving it off, did you leave it in various stages? I know Jim, my husband, grew a beard when I was pregnant with Michael just because it was something to do while I was pregnant and having cravings.
Sure.
So then when he shaved it off, he went through, you know, like, okay, I'm going to go goatee. Then I'm going to go mustache only.
Right.
Then soul patch. I don't know the order, obviously.
I shaved mine all off in the middle of the summer.
Why do you laugh?
That just sounds like so much fun.
It was. He took pictures of himself, and the mustache looked very much like Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, it did. I shaved my whole beard and mustache off in the middle of summer, like in the middle of July. And here's a tip for the kids out there who are sporting beards and mustaches. Don't shave it off in the middle of the summer because your face gets tan. So what happens is when you shave your beard and mustache off, I had like tan lines where my beard and mustache used to be.
So you had like a Flintstone face in reverse.
Yeah, oh, negative beard,
God,
or something.
I had a negative beard.
You just the life you have led.
They'd go, "Were you in some sort of a science experiment gone wrong?" And I'd go, "No, why?" Like I knew something was. I didn't know it was that dramatic, but it really looked otherworldly.
And all these years later, Bobby Lee, that was in here, told you that you. You have no lips because your facial skin and your lip skin is the same color.
They are almost the same color, yeah.
Too bad you didn't have the beard now to cover that up. You wouldn't have noticed.
No, I wish I had figured that out earlier. I didn't know that. But
you really had? You shaved in the middle of summer and the tan line showed white where the beard was?
For a whole week.
Did you wear makeup?
No, I did not. That would have been better, though, right? I should have joined KISS. I was in KISS for a week.
Oh,
all right, we'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then there's more show, believe it or not. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That wind is out of control.
Dangerous winds,
yeah,
Wendy.
I heard your report near Archer Avenue, and also talked to to Bill Murdoch, our engineer here, and he said that we took a hit. I don't know if it was because wind-related, but the main transmitter took a hit.
Right.
So... automatically, our signal goes to the backup, the little tiny transmitter, tiny transmitter.
On top of Willie's Weenie Wagon in Alsip, Illinois.
You're going to just replay the last half hour then? Or?
Yeah, we'll just run that again.
You can find it on the podcast. It'll be there for your listening enjoyment. We do full shows and otherwise.
Yes.
And then we all get together and listen to Steve Bertrand's book club.
That's what we've been doing.
Steve Bertrand on books.
That's right. That's right.
Was he sitting on them or standing on them?
Oh, you guys.
I'm just a giver, Bill. I don't know why she picks
I don't understand it either. It's baffling to me.
By the way, Legally Blonde was fantastic, but I can't talk about it till after the weekend because I might be giving stuff away.
This is your son's show that he's doing at his school. You don't want to... Well, but most of the people listening won't go see it, I don't think.
Well,
you don't know that?
All right, listeners.
I'm pretty confident.
Can I tell you how many people came up to me at that performance who listened to us on a regular basis...
Yeah.
Who said, you know, I had said I'm going to my son's each and every performance.
Right, all four performances, yeah.
And I don't know why it was so bothersome to you that I was doing that. Michael told me this morning he doesn't care and he's glad I came. And so many listeners, mainly women, I will say, came up to me and said, if you were talking about going to see your son at a sports event, Bill wouldn't have been giving you any trouble.
Well, because each of those games would probably play out slightly differently than the others. Like in this, if everything goes according to plan, you'll probably get the same show all four times.
I don't know. There are two dogs in the performance.
Oh, I didn't know there were two dogs. Then I would go see all four.
Don't call their kids, man. Don't call those kids dogs. They're doing their best.
Cutest little kids ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe how talented these high school students are.
Sure.
I'm not kidding.
Did you give your son any notes?
No. I thought he was great.
You didn't see, one thing I would do differently. You didn't do that?
No.
All right.
He came up to me after I was sitting front row center, of course, by myself.
Oh, no.
Were you really? By yourself in the front row there?
I was, yes. Yeah. Jim was podcasting his Rebel Force radio.
Did they rope it off in a velvet rope that had your name on it?
I just sat there, and I sat next to the girl who was...
Did you?
What is so funny?
Did you have, like, a Phantom of the Opera mascot?
No!
Theater glasses? Did you have that?
God, you guys, I'm really...
Opera glasses?
Again, here we go again.
What?
Well, I don't know why you're making fun of me.
Just trying to get a picture. We just wanted to see like what it must have been like because we couldn't get tickets. Steve and I thought we'll surprise you. We'll get tickets.
And
I
couldn't
get tickets.
I asked for front center orchestra. I said, and they said no. They were all taken by someone.
You know, this LT High School redid their what is it?
Theater.
Yes, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
I panicked. It's got me so...
You'd think somebody who spent that much time in one, you'd kind of know what it's
called. I went once!
Do you guys have a building where shows are performed that one could sit in the front row?
It's called the Reber Center, so I didn't know.
I was going to say, tonight on the way in, read the sign on the way in, because it's probably there.
They have an orchestra pit. They just finished it. It is awesome.
That's a good, you know, if you have an orchestra pit, that says we're taking our job seriously.
This is a high school. I cannot believe how fantastic they were, and I will be going again tonight.
Yeah.
And,
will you be disappointed if the show is kind of the same? Will you go,
I
saw yesterday.
I laughed. I cried.
Yeah.
I loved it.
All right.
I absolutely loved it.
I think the part that got me yesterday was that I'm going to all four shows. And I said, is that what Michael wants? Is that what your son wants? And you said,
it's not up to him.
It's not up to him.
But there was, because there was no deal.
No, but in similar situations for some of us, myself included, I've said to my kids, I know you guys have a show coming up. A, do you want me to come? B, you pick the night or nights, and I'll be there. But
My kids told me that I'm a better parent because
say that? You're a better parent.
It's like, how come Bill didn't go to all his kids' performances? That's rude.
If
that's
my
what
kids
they
had
didn't
said,
say
Dad,
not
we
say
want
that.
You at every performance to come to that building where shows are performed, and no one knows the name of it, would you come? I would say, absolutely, I would be there for you. But if they said, we don't want you to go there at all, Terry told me the story yesterday because we were talking about this. There was some show that Kylie did. I wasn't even aware she was in it. And she said to my wife, she goes, it's not good. I don't want you guys to come. So we didn't even know
she
was in
it. Wow, you have a terrible relationship with your kids.
Hey, this is no way to go into a weekend.
I am totally kidding. Right. But I mean, I really was unclear as to why this was such a big deal. Even Michael this morning said, I want you to go.
All right. Mm. Well, then they should go. You should go.
So he needs to please you so badly he doesn't
truth? No, see, now, Bertrand, you got to go the other way. Diane, you know what? This is not a way to go into the weekend, says Steve Bertrand, and then he goes into the weekend like this.
I'm totally on your side.
Well, I have to tell you, you have some good ammunition right here. I'm not just a mom, but I'm also directing a musical just down the street from your son's high school. In fact, a high school that you know very dear.
You can say the name of it.
What
is it?
RBHS.
Oh, ooh, ah, we're the best. I went to RB High School.
RBHS. Right. I know you did. I know you did. So when my kids were in musicals, and they were in every single one, I went to every performance plus the dress rehearsal so that I could take pictures.
Wow.
And, yeah, well, my goodness. See, I can't believe that you say that a sporting event changes. I think those are all the same. I do not need to go to 72 basketball games. But for musicals, everyone is totally different from the previous performance.
But
there's
little
nuances and little funny little things that happen. And
but Diane,
great.
But can I ask you, don't you think that that decision should really be up to your kids? What if you have a kid that's nervous about their mom? Or it shouldn't be up to the kids.
No. Right. Well, first of all, if
your kids get nervous around you?
No, mine don't. But I know that there's kids out there who think, oh, my mom's here, my dad's here. This is going to make me nervous. It might affect their performance. I would leave it up to the kids.
But you know what? Those are the kids that normally will tell their parents way out that they do not want them at the performance.
Or they won't even tell them they made the play.
I have had students who did not let their kids come or let their parents come to choir concerts or musicals because they didn't want them to see them.
Right.
But this was explained to them months ahead of time.
All right, I have a question for you, and we have to go, but this is something that's been weighing on my mind. As I sat alone front row center and laughed at myself.
did you cry?
I did. It was great. Okay. All the moms and people were giving their daughters flowers. What do I give a guy?
That's a good question.
Oh,
a crave case from White Castle, would that work?
I know a lot of kids that would work for it. Absolutely. Candy, but you know what? Flowers, too. It's okay.
Steve knows. Steve, what would you give a guy, Steve?
It's the occasion.
We just did this when, you know, the Petruchio.
For Taming of the Shrew.
I would say candy.
All right, Diane, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate that. Steve,
what did you give your son?
Can we take a quick break and come back and find out? That's how you make people stick around.
It's a cliffhanger, I tell you. All right, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in.
Finally, you'll help me, Steve.
It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you guys. I loved Legally Blonde. My son was in it, not a major league. He had a song. Major lead, rather. I'm confusing it with you.
Right.
Didn't know what to give him. All the girls got flowers. Steve Bertrand has had some kids in the play business. And what do you give a guy?
We gave him a Walgreens card.
Oh, that's not bad.
Did you make a presentation?
How crazy is that?
More practical than flowers, Steve.
That's all they do. My son goes to Walgreens and gets stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we gave him, a Walgreens card.
That's not bad.
But this is what I didn't know because, you know, when I was in the operetta in like 7th or 8th grade, never got a lead. I was in the small chorus.
Don't give up.
I'm not.
Honest, baby.
HMS Pinafore, Pirates of Penzance, all those things.
Oh, that's an impressive resume.
Thank you very much. Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah. Gilbert and Gottfried.
Alone Again.
One step too far all the time. No. There were people who had the leads who had these flowers presented to them, like as you're doing the curtain call, or is that what it's called when everybody takes a bow?
Yeah.
But now it's like I see all these parents with these beautiful flower arrangements,
uh-huh.
and they don't give it to the kids until like the play's already over. And as I'm sitting by myself front row center, I'm just sitting there. The parents are mulling around waiting for their kids to come out the side door. And then they just present these big bouquets of flowers.
I think you should stand strong and not do it because really it's silly.
He did come out afterwards and said, you know, did you enjoy the show? And I said, Michael, I loved it.
Sure.
I thought you were great. I thought everybody was great. And he goes, excellent. Could I have money for pie?
Oh,
right.
I said, what? He goes, I forgot my wallet. We're all going out for pie.
That's what these kids do after shows, Wendy. They all go out and they have pie. They're crazy. Can he get you a better seat for tonight's performance? You shouldn't have to sit all the way back there.
Well, now the whole family.
Oh, it's everybody now.
My sister, my cousin, Jim, Dylan, everybody's going. And yeah. I just want to read you a little something that was sent to the WGN radio station.
Right.
I'm a retired teacher from your son's high school, LT, and I can't applaud you loudly enough as a parent making the commitment both time-wise and financially to attend his theatrical production. From my 30-plus years of teaching experience, I have seen too many young people wishing that a parent, family member, adult friend, or guardian would be present for whatever event the child was participating in.
Yeah.
The kids may outwardly act, quote, cool about no one coming to see and support them, or may make excuses that no one's available, but that is far from their reality. I deserve an A+ for being there and sharing this experience with Michael, and also insisting that the entire family attend at least once.
All right.
Hope you enjoy the production as much as I enjoy listening to you and Bill on WGN.
All right.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Thanks, Marilyn. Then she's right. I think you should go to as many performances as you want, but I still think it should always be up to the child because it's all on the line for them. It's not on the line for the parent. It's on the line for the kid. And if now it may not be in your case, but there are kids out there who would get more nervous knowing their parents were there. So if they want to come one time, if they go, yeah, mom, dad, one time, I would be a subscriber to that theory.
And I will learn from you as we go into the weekend together.
Yeah.
You're right. And I hope if somebody's listening and they think their kid may not want them to go, or if there's a kid listening, go ahead and say, you get to pick one.
Yeah. Which one do you want?
Right. But if you don't say anything, we think we can go to all of them.
All right. That's fair.
And someone suggested a Rolex Platinum watch.
Yeah, get him a nice Rolex. That's good. He would like that.
630 says, my son was Warner. Warner was very good. And Robert, we have probably 1 minute here, but you understand.
I'll talk fast.
Okay.
When my daughter was the lead in several high school productions, and I went to the dress rehearsal. I went to the senior afternoon play that they did for the community. I went to all four performances, and not only her, but all her friends had parents there for almost every performance, and they were thrilled that we were there. And as a quick suggestion to you, you can get them a bouquet of cookies, or
that's
you
good.
Can get them a Sports Authority gift card.
I'm just going to give them $20 again so we can go out for pie.
Yeah.
Get them a gift certificate to the pie place.
I'll just bring them a pie.
Bring them a pie.
There
What's
you go.
What's wrong with that?
Robert, thank you so much. And how'd you get into the dress rehearsal? Can you give me some tips on that? Because I'm kind of jealous. I would have liked to have gone to that.
They let the parents come in because that's the only time you could take pictures.
I know. That's another thing. It says on the program you can't take
pictures. No videotape.
I got to get some video.
And that's because they're copyrighted. Usually,
I'm not going to do anything with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm give it to you for Christmas, Bill.
When I had an ice skater, we went to every performance. I had a horseback rider. I went to every horse show. And the kids were thrilled we were there. You know, if they're nervous, you know, that's part of the learning process. They're going to be on the stage. They got to get over that.
That's true. Thank you, Robert. But your parents are your worst critics. That is
true. They can be. I'm proud of you for not going, hey, I loved what you did, but... Here's something you didn't do it even once.
I swear to God.
That's great.
Not
That's
this
very
time.
Good.
In the past, I have done that. I've learned.
It always goes well, doesn't it? They
really.
Always love the advice. We'll take a break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.